Okay, so the topic of this week's Chabura is the Tikkun of Tzlosos for Shisarana. So already in the Gemara and Vavam and Beis, it's clear that Tzlosos and only Tzlosos are able to be Metakein for Shisarana. It's clear from the two members of Vavam and Beis of Rav Yochanan and Ula. So already like six lines down on Vavam and Beis, the Nova Shaka Vataria there basically establishes Va'amar Rabba Bar Vachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Yushalayim, which is Rosh Hashanah, or Malei Dlosos Seh, Aminu Los Halayla, if not for the fact that its doors were locked at night, Chayav Aleha Mishum Rosh Hashanah. Yushalayim would retain its Rosh Hashanah status. But Amar Ula, similarly, Hani Avulei de Mechuza, the streets of Mechuza, or Malei Dlosos Seh, Aminu Los, Chayav Aleha Mishum Rosh Hashanah. Similarly, if not, right, since it's Rosh Hashanah, the only way to be metaking it would be through Dlosos Nunulos. So while it's clear that you have this statement, so while it's clear from the Gemara that there's a the tikkun of Dlosos Nunulos, it's clear from the Shach Vatarya that this is right to preclude alternative options. For sure, preclude the option of Tzuras HaPesach, perhaps even the option of one Delos, and perhaps even the option of Delos of Ruilino. We'll get to those details in a moment. But basically, Dlosos Nunulos, that the exclusion of other options is basically the only way to mitaken Rosh Hashanah. But what's unclear is what exactly is the nature of these tikkun. We're going to see that there are two general approaches in the Mefarshim in terms of understanding the direct impact of Dlosos Rosh Hashanah. The first general approach is that the primary impact of Dlosos Rosh Hashanah is to be mafkia the shame Rosh Hashanah. The first approach is the Hafkas Rosh Hashanah. We'll discuss this in just a moment. Basically, in short, the idea seems to be that the placement of Dlosos in Rosh Hashanah somehow neutralizes one of the defining characteristics of Rosh Hashanah, such that the placement of these Dlosos are Mafkia, the shame Rosh Hashanah. The second approach is that the contrast of Hafkas Rosh Hashanah is rather that the direct impact of the Dlosos is rather, we'll call it Yitziras Rosh Hashanah, is that the Dlosos basically function as mechitzos, and therefore through establishing the necessary minyan mechitzos required for Rosh Hashayachid, you basically transform this makom into a Rosh Hashayachid, and once it becomes Rosh Hashayachid, that is thereby mafkia its previous Rosh Hashanah status. But the big issue at hand is, what's the primary function of the Dlosos? It's to be mafkia the Rosh Hashanah, or is it coming from the opposite direction to really establish a Rosh Hashayachid? And we're going to see that a lot of the issues in the sugya will be impacted by these two different perspectives, and right, in the farshim, coming from these two different vantage points, will basically approach many of the issues from very different perspectives. So starting with the first approach, the Hafkas Rosh Hashanah approach, as we noted, the idea seems to be that, again, the placement of the Dlosos basically neutralizes one of the defining characteristics of the Rosh Hashanah, thereby being mafkia the shame Rosh Hashanah. So the first issue we have to discuss is, what exactly is the defining characteristic of the Rosh Hashanah that the Dlosos come to neutralize? So the first option is that the Dlosos come to be mafki, to really to disrupt the function of the Rosh Hashanah. In simple terms, you're dealing with the classical Mabim Mufulash, which is the central street in this particular city or this makom, and that is by putting up Delos or Dlosos, we'll get to that in a moment, that basically disrupts the function. The idea of the function of the Rosh Hashanah is that it allows for traffic to go through. By putting up a Delos or two Dlosos, that basically impedes and disrupts that function, thereby being mafkia, the shame Rosh Hashanah. So the first Rishon who really accepts this approach clearly is the Rashban. We're going to see in a number of places. So if you look at its source number one, in Avodas HaKodesh, Beis Dalad, this is where the Rashba, after quoting the member of Rav Yochanan, basically points out that based on his understanding of the impact of this tikkun of Dlosos, all you need is one Delos, because one Delos is going to basically have the desired impact on the function of the Rosh Hashanah. So we'll see in just a moment that basically the direct impact of the Dlosos is impeding, disrupting the function of the Rosh Hashanah, which is thereby mafkia, the shame Rosh Hashanah. So look at source number one. The Rashba here says, Viroli, she'in sar dlosos ninolos, mikan mikan. You do not need two locked doors on both sides. Ela kol she'ish kan delas ninelas belayla. As long as you have one delas ninelas, velachi okora mikan, and velachi okora on the other side. Harizeh Rishus HaYachid. I understand this at the moment, based on the rest of this Rashi, by saying this will end up having the results, bottom line, it will turn into Rishus HaYachid. Verse 8, what is the direct impact of the Delas? It's an intermediary stage. She'in Rishus HaRabim Ela HaMasr LaRabim B'chol Eis. So the Rashi here, very importantly, defines the function of a Rishus HaRabim, we'll see, give me Mavim Fulosh, as an area, a makom, which is accessible to the rabbim at all times. And therefore, since it needs to be accessible at all times, therefore, as long as you have one delas, and even though it's only locked at night, and again, it impedes that function, it prevents the bekiyas rabbim, belaylos, engzu rishus rabbim. So again, I think it's clear that the primary impact of the placement of the delas, according to the Rashba, is that it impedes, it disrupts the function of Rishus Rabbim, and therefore is mafkia, its shame, Rishus Rabbim. We'll get to, a little bit later, in terms of the stage two of it then turning into Rishus HaYachid. But just a number of points here. But number one, obviously, you know, the Rashba is taking a stand on the one big issue in the Sugya, about minyan delasos, and say all you need is one delas. Lashi tells us all about impeding the function. So he says that once you put up one delas, again, you can't go straight through. So that's a sufficient disruption of the Rishus HaRabim to be mafkia its shin. The second point, another big issue in the sugya, is that the pashas of the Gemara, at least for sure the member of Rabbi Yochanan, is that the ninolos, the delosos being locked at night, suffices. So the big issue is, one is that tikkun at night carried over to the day. So the Rashba Lashitaso, who thinks that the direct impact of the delosos ninolos is about impeding the function, and once, very important, and once he defines the function of Rishus Rabbim such that it needs to be accessible to the Rabbim at all times, so therefore even as long as you break or you disrupt that function even, let's say, during half the day, that's going to suffice because part of the gedder of the function of Rishus Rabbim is to be functional at all times. The other important issue, obviously, the other factor which is a big issue in the sugya is in terms of whether it actually needs to be ninolos. So the Rashi Lashitaso explains the need for ninolos because once it's about impacting the function of the Rishus Rabbim, so therefore, the simple way of understanding, the only way a delas will impede, you know, the traffic, will impede the function of the Rishus HaRabim is if it's actually locked. And the last point, which we'll get to in a moment, is that while the Rashba clearly thinks that I think it's clear here in the next Rashba as well, that the primary impact is on the function of the Rishus HaRabim, the Rashba also thinks that after the delas's function in terms of the mafkia, the shame of Rishus HaRabim, by impeding the function of Rishus HaRabim, it also has a secondary impact of functioning as mechitzos, and therefore the delasos, basically in the two-stage process, we'll get back to this in a moment. First, it's mafkia, the shame of Rishus HaRabim, knocking it down to a carmelis, but now that you have delasos functioning as mechitzos, now you have three mechitzos for the Rashba, there's only one delas, so you have the three mechitzos, which then turns this makom into Rishus HaYachid. We're going to get back to that second stage in just a moment. But again, it's clear from this Rashba that the primary impact is on the function of the Rishus HaRabim. And in source number two, the other more famous Avodas HaKodesh of the Rashba is the famous Rashba where he's mechalik between Palachia and Mavim Mufulish Swacha, where he basically says, we'll read in a moment, that basically Lishitaso, because the Rashba thinks that the primary impact of Tzlosos is on the function of the Rishus HaRabim, so therefore, how effective the tikkun of Rishus HaRabim is going to be, the effectivity, basically, how effective the tzlosos will be will depend on the particular function of the Rishus HaRabim at hand. And therefore, if you think the whole tikkun is about impeding the function of Rishus HaRabim, he's going to explain in the next piece. And therefore, the only Rishus HaRabim whose function is impacted by the placement of tzlosos is a mabe mefulash. Asha inkein, the Rishus HaRabim of Platya, which is defined in terms of kibbutz HaRabim, just the gathering of the Rabbim in that place. Therefore, since that gathering is not impacted by the fact that it's surrounded by Tlasos, Lishitaso, that it's all about impeding the function, therefore, if it doesn't impede the function of a plancha, therefore Tlasos, Ninolos will not have any impact on a plancha. But again, it's very clear, we'll read right now, that the Rashba Lishitaso is all about the impact of the Tlasos on the function of the Rishus HaRabim. See source number two. Izuhi Rishus HaRabim. This is where he introduces the different types, different categories of Rishus HaRabim. So what are they? So first one is a Platya. Kol makom shu rachav sheshes re'ama, al sheshes re'ama, it's a 16 by 16. Miskapsin sham b'nei adam l'schora, there's a gathering place for the market. Lasa san sarcheyan, kishukim shim b'medinos, again like a marketplace. This is the key. Va'af al pisha d'losa sa medina ninalas b'layla. And busy, in the context of this plancha, this type of Rishis Rabin, this type of Rishis Rabin of plancha is not impacted kiyuzeh by the tikkun of d'losos. The zuhi plancha sham, and this is the term plancha in the Gemara, in contrast. A second type of Rishis Rabin, v'chein ha-mevuos, ha-mefulashim, v'schein mechuvanim zeh k'neged zeh, this is describing a mavim foolish, again has to have mechuvan, v'rchav m'sheish, so I'm over in Beinam, k'digle, midbar v'ha-golos, and its function, again, is not about kibbutz Rabin, but it's rather about traffic going through. But medzvar amurim, when does it retain its status of a Rishis Rabin? V'she'ein d'losos em, nina los b'layla, when you do not have the places of d'losos there, but hayu d'losos nina los b'layla, but when you have the d'losos there, again, what is the main, what's the primary function? Ein zeh Rishis Rabin. It's about being mafkir the shem Rishis Rabin. Why? How does it do that? How does it accomplish that? She'ein Rishis Rabin ela hanimser l'rabin b'chosha. Again, l'shitaso, it's all about impeding the function of the Rishis Rabin, and therefore, a Mavim Mefulash, whose function is defined as being accessible to the Rabin at all times, will thereby be impacted and impeded by the placement of Tlosos, even though they're only locked at night. So again, it's clear from these two Rashbas that, again, the direct impact of Tlosos, Ninolos, again, is of the variety of Havkas, Rishis Rabin, and more specifically, this first version of impacting the function of the Rishis Rabin. But a major question that we now have to ask ourselves is, as we pointed out before, the Rashba also thinks that Dlosos, Ninolos at least, also function as Mechitzos. The question therefore is, that granted the Rashba thinks the primary function is being Mafkia, the Shem Rishis Rabin, but why don't you also have the other track? I mean, everyone agrees that you have, for the Rashba, you have three Mechitzos, Gemuros, right, that's the shear of a Rishis Yachid, right? And the Rashba, as we saw earlier, thinks that Dlosos, Ninolos constitutes Mechitzos, as seen from the fact that he says in the classical case, right? Not only does the placement of Dlosos knock it down, not only is it Mafkir, the Shem Rishis Rabin, into a Karmelis, but it also turns that Makom into a Rishis Yachid through the Dlosos functioning as Mechitzos, or Delos for him, functioning as that third necessary Mechitzo. So you have three Mechitzos. So even by a plancha, granted by a plancha, the placement of the Delos will not impede its faction, and therefore you can't go the route of being Mafkir, the Shem Rishis Rabin. But doesn't he admit that is it, the Delos Neles is a viable Mechitza, therefore it's Mashlim, the necessary minion Mechitzos of three, therefore why can't you go that alternative route in the plancha? Granted, it's not Mafkir, the Shem Rishis Rabin, by impacting its function, but at least you have three Mechitzos, seemingly Gemuros, according to the Rashba. So therefore, why won't that have an impact on plancha? So why isn't plancha Nitkan, Ali Yedei Dlosos, not through the Havkas Rishis Rabin track, but rather through the, let's say, called the Yitziras Rishis Yachid track.
Yeah, are you assuming that Pirsa here is like Yasser Mesa or something, and that just the Dlosos are associated with Pirsa? You have Mechitzas all around your shalom.
Yeah, I'm assuming like the Rishonim say, let's say you're standing in the middle. I'm close to saying something like this. So from that, when you're like smack in the middle.
When you have a full Mechitza, you're going to have Dlosos up super close?
I'm saying, when you're standing, that's what Tosafot says, when you're standing right in smack in the middle, the center of your shulayan, so then kineged you is airspace. And that's the koveya, meaning whether that malkum inside is covered by the mini mechitzos, you know, relating to that malkum. Correct. Yeah.
Physically.
Well, that's going to get into the Lassi Rabin issues, but we'll get there in a moment. But the simple understanding of the Rishonim is that without these Dlosos, or the many, we'll get this also, they're not Ninolos, then you do not have a Shem Mechitza, presumably because since you're Kineged, you know, the Avir, exactly, since you're smack in the middle, it's Mefulosh, you're Kineged the Avir, therefore you're only surrounded by the Mechitzas on top and bottom, but not on the side. That's the simple assumption. So again, so the question we have to now deal with is, why does the Rashba, you know, basically think that, you know, so be mafkia?
Your question is both about the plotia where it doesn't work, and also about the language regarding structure where it does work.
Exactly. The question is highlighted more by Plotcher, but nothing's working. You could have said that he's just, you could have said that two things work. That's not really foolish, but yeah, for sure. It seems like the focus is always on Afkos, which is Rabin. I guess the question always is, why? Why are you ignoring the alternative routes of Yetziros, which is Yafet? It just highlighted more the context of Plotcher, where you don't have the first one, and if we say Lemaisa, nothing's
been done. You could have like said a Plotcher answer, if that was the only problem. Right. Right here. I think you're right. The deal is that it sounds like even in Strachan, you need the Afkos, which is Rabin.
So I'd like to suggest that what's going on for the Rashban could be for this entire first approach of Hakas or Shus HaRavim, assuming that they're ignoring the alternative track of creating Rosh HaYachid, is that what this gets to is basically you have, in this case, this a clash, you have this one Makom, and in the same Makom you have a clash between Rosh HaYachid and Rosh HaRavim, right? Because you have, in this Masai Placha, is a perfect testament, right? In the same Makom of Placha, you have all the conditions for Rosh HaRavim, right? The function, it's the tzura of a Placha, everything is there. So you have the conditions for Rosh HaRavim. But at the same time, it's surrounded by Dalet or Gimel Mechitzos. So you have the conditions for Rosh HaYachid. And the question is, when you have this clash, this direct clash between Rosh HaYachid and Rosh HaRavim, this, the first Mahalach of Afkas Rosh HaRavim is highlighted by the Rashba. This approach thinks that when you have such a clash, that the Rosh HaRavim is going to overcome Rosh HaYachid. And therefore, kol zman, that you're not mafkia, the Rosh HaRavim, on a functional level, on a tzura level, is intact, is chayav kayam. So therefore, even if you create your mechitzos, the Rosh HaYachid will be overcome by the Rosh HaRavim. And therefore, this approach, in the Rashi thinks, in the case of a Apache, where you have this clash, the Rosh HaRavim is going to overcome the Rosh HaYachid. And therefore, the fact that you provided the necessary minyan mechitzos is not going to have any impact. So the question is, why would that be? Why is it that in Malcolm, this type of clash, that Rosh HaRavim overcomes Rosh HaYachid? So it's possible to suggest that the reason why Rosh HaRavim overcomes Rosh HaYachid is because part of the geder of a Rosh HaYachid as a private Malcolm is defined by its separation from the Rabbin. And therefore, the fact that you have your Dalet or your necessary minyan mechitzos, the fact that inside of it is Rosh HaRavim, that is mafkia, that basically overcomes the ability for this makom to be defined as Rosh HaYachid, assuming, we'll prove this in a moment, assuming that part of the gather of Rosh HaYachid is not just the structure of Dalet Mechitzos or Gimel Mechitzos, but rather it's defined as a private makom which is sufficiently separated from the Rabbin / Rosh HaRavim. And a clear highlight, just one second, a clear, I think, highlight of this yusod, that part of the geder of Rosh HaYachid is its separation from Rosh HaRavim. Our shitos, we've all been, come across in previous chaburas, right? The big, group of mefarshim who hold that while in isolation, in a vacuum, three mechitzos suffice to create a Rosh HaYachid, right? There's a whole group, the two ways to say it, basically, according to one group, basically, three mechitzos will not suffice when that fourth side opens up. It's Nifrat, Rosh HaRavim. That's the Pinyus of the Geshem Mefarshim and the Rashba, B'Shem Rashi, the Rabach, quoted by the Kesem Mishnah, says B'Shem the Rambam. There's a day in the Magen Mishnah like this. Right? So again, even though three generally suffices, when it's Rosh HaYachid is Nifrat, Rosh HaRavim, so then that area inside is not going to be defined as Rosh HaYachid. And similarly, the other version of the Ravid, parallel, is again three suffices, but not when it's B'Kiyas HaRavim. Again, I think, as explained in previous chaburos, I think the yusod of these chilukim, of these mefarshim, is that part of the geder of a Rosh HaYachid is its separation from the Rosh HaRavim. So one version, and therefore, if it's completely opened into the Rosh HaRavim, that's not sufficiently separated from the Rosh HaRavim, and therefore it can't define it as a Rosh HaYachid. Or the other version is that if you have a Bekiyas HaRavim, then again, it's not sufficiently separated enough from the Rosh HaRavim, but at least from the presence of the Rabbin. Two different versions, but again, this you saw that part of the geder of Rosh HaYachid is its separation from the Rosh HaRavim or the presence of the Rabbin. And therefore, taking that back here, in this case, similarly, whenever you have a clash between Rosh HaYachid and Rosh HaRavim, basically just the mere presence of the Rosh HaRavim there is going to not allow us, this is going to dictate that the Rosh HaRavim is going to overcome Rosh HaYachid, because the Rosh HaYachid internally, based on its gather, is undermined based on the presence of the Rosh HaRavim.
And the point, just to clarify, the point you're suggesting, it's not so much that there's a clash from Rosh HaYachid at all, it's that the
Yeah, it's yeah, it's like an undermine. It's not head on, but
the
makom.
Also makes an
correct. Yeah.
You don't know what would be if you had a clash.
It's not like
it.
I'm saying, yeah. The idea is that whenever you have the clash, yeah. Meaning, exactly. It's not a like head-on clash. It's that, but makom the rishus rabim, you never, you know, exactly. In essence, you never have a clash.
And just like, also the right that the kids rabim were undermining the rishus.
Yeah.
So that doesn't necessarily mean what necessarily says, I mean, doesn't. So the rashba or klatcha say more. I mean, that could have been specifically within the heker, because it undermines the heker mechitzos. That the rashba, say when the rashba has to say more, then that's just under. Those some of those rishus could just be under. The mechitzos are because of the.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that. And just I guess in line with what you're saying, just one potential problem with this tliya, basically seemingly aligning generally this the Rashba with the idea of those mefarshim is the fact that the Rashba himself doesn't accept those shitas. Right, the Rashba in a number of places in Avodas Kodesh basically says three always works, and the Rashba in Daf Tes and Daf Tzadi Dalad basically says that when you have three mechitzos, even a case in those cases where it's nifratz l'rishus rabim, it's still a rishus yachid. So how does it work? So, but I think the answer is along the lines that basically the cases are different. And that those other cases where it's nifra to the Rishus HaRabim, where there's a Bekiyas HaRabim coming from the outside, so there you have your Rishus HaRabim, so in the case of nifrats, which is, you know, open, adjacent to Rishus HaRabim. So according to those shitos, the fact that they're adjacent to one another, touching each other, that's enough of a lack of a separation. But the Rashi is going to draw the line in a different place. Again, agree to the Yisod that part of the Geder of Rishus HaYachid is a separation from Rishus HaRabim, but he's going to say that as long as Rishus HaRabim is not inside Rishus HaYachid, that's Rishus HaYachid is going to be intact, and therefore he says three mechitzos to Rishus HaYachid, even when it's nifrat to Rishus HaRabim. But what makes this case unique, the Pacha, again maybe from a different angle than what you were saying before, is that here the Rishus HaRabim is not contiguous to the Rishus HaYachid, it's inside. The function of the Platya, the function of the Rishus HaRabim, is inside Rishus HaYachid. So therefore, it could be that's even more of a chisaron, more of a clash with the identity of Rishus HaYachid, and therefore the Rashi will draw the line in that place and say, you can have Rishus HaYachid, which is, you know, next to a Rishus HaRabim, but when the Rishus HaRabim and its function is inside, so that even the Rashi will admit that in such a case, that is not defined as a Rishus HaYachid.
Is that, what you said now, is that bolstered by the fact that you don't speak about a case where it crosses around the Pacha? Is that directly speaking about Dalai Lama cases in the normal sense?
Well, it is around in the sense
it's around, but not relate. I mean, what would he say in a case where it's around and relate?
So there are, I know there are chronim from Mechalek in that.
The Rashi you just said in the last line.
Yeah, I'm not assuming not that way. I'm assuming the Pacha.
I shouldn't have dropped it there. Isn't the Rashi going, wouldn't that fit more?
You could be machalik. You could also say that, you know, if we're trying to be matir that area, I mean, we're basically saying that any time, you know, you have a Rishus HaRabim inside, whether that's the only thing inside of it, or as long as it's part of the inside of that Rishus HaYachid, maybe you have, it's like the Medina, the four walls of the Medina, but inside, we're trying to wonder whether the Delosos on the Medina will have an impact on that, so the Platya inside.
What if it had solid walls, not dolosos at all?
Yeah, so I'm saying the same thing. To me,
because
I think dolosos minerals...
That it's only dolosos and not dolosos.
Correct. Seems to be the mechitzos, exactly. So I think Ariel is asking it's...
I'm asking the other side of that, but I know the Rashba only said it, but the dolosos don't actually relate to the place.
I'm saying that's an akinta. I mean, that's his case. I'm interpreting...
All right. You don't see. Meaning, I think it would cut both ways, both in Evan's direction, the other direction, to try to think. To say what you're saying, then Adabi could accept both of those dukkim and still spend along the lines of what you're saying. Meaning, the clash needs to be tied in.
Yeah, you could say. Yeah, I don't think that's the pashas of the Rashba. I'm interpreting it as saying in all cases.
You think because of your interpretation, you therefore don't want to take that.
But you're right. This mahalat meaning it's funny. The Akronim who happened to say that are going within the second approach of mechitzos. To them, like, of course, when you have your minyan mechitzos, that will overcome a Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, the Rashba must only be talking in a case where they're not mitzuruf. That's the way they say it. Never must. But in a chanami, if they were, you're saying you can have that chiluk even if it's
with your lungs. 100%.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Okay.
So David, you're explaining this the Rashba that shalasas hamedina nidalas baraila. So that should be Rishus HaRabim. But since there's Rabim. And Platya, so I can't take these adlosses aren't doing anything like the pot. Like even outside of the pot, yeah.
Or you can say at least, I mean, that's an interesting question. I mean, you could say it undermines the entire machitos. I probably prefer saying that those machitos cannot be mitzuruf to this makom.
Nice, why not just say that?
I mean, the plachia retains its rishus rabban status because even though, yes, assuming it's defined, I mean, those, assuming that the idlosos and the machitos and the medina are mitzuruf to it, but they still can't, you know, define that area as rishus ayachid, even though you have the minyan machitos because they're at odds with the.
Well,
it's just with the function
of your, like what she talked about, you were saying earlier, that in order for the mechitzos to be effective, they have to be chosen ha'ovrim sham.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
with respect to the platya, the mechitzos are only sub of medina, not the platya itself, so they're not chosen.
But that's coming from a different angle of the function. To me, that chilek makes sense if you're trying to figure out whether the tzlosos have an impact on the function of the mechitzos. If you're just dealing from the perspective of whether this area is surrounded by Dalet Mechitzos, and the Rashi would think Gimel Mechitzos would suffice. And once you have that, assuming they are Mitzuruf to the Makom, so the question is why, who cares that they're not impacting the function? That's not the question here. The question is whether you have this area is surrounded by Gimel Mechitzos, and it is. So I'm explaining the only reason why is that you have, and the path of Klesh, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, assuming that part of the Gedder, Rishus HaYachid, is not just the structure being surrounded by the necessary minyan mechitzos, but also it's about, you know, its exclusion or its separation from the rabbim and the function of the rabbim. That's why in this case the plachia, where you have all those rishis rabbim characteristics, that would overcome the rishis yachad.
Okay.
Yeah.
The answer to your question was that you're assuming that the plachia and olos are mechitzos mura, are mechitzos.
Yeah, because coming from the fact that the rashba.
What would happen if there were four plachia and olos surrounding an area?
For
this Rashba,
I don't think there'd be any difference. I mean, sort of the opposite question, parallel opposite of what he was asking.
It's very possible to read this Rashba. I already have two machitzos. It's kamad already, which is ayachid. The only issue is something like osti rabim about the machitzah.
I'm saying it doesn't. And the Rav Moshe has something like that. I don't think that he's discussing osti rabim here. To me, he's discussing the function of rishis rabim, and therefore, if you
I mean, they were awfully close. Because the rabbin was coming through it, then they will because Chosemes is over Bishavim, then they will, it's Mamela, it's not a Rishis Rabbim. So he never discusses it anyway that it turned into a Mechitza.
I'm saying he says it's Rishis Yachid.
Because they already have Mechitza.
But the assumption of the Sugyas is that, meaning the area that we're talking about, it's based on. For sure, we'll get to this later, that the Rishonim, for sure, who are taking the other approach, and we'll talk about the Tzlosos functioning as the Mechitzos, that those are the Mechitzos for sides 3 and possibly 4. They don't come on to the fact that you have your... I mean, they assume that a certain Makom is... the Mechitzos of a certain Makom, a certain point, is defined to go north, south, east, and west. And therefore, if the person is connected, you know, the open area of the Tzlosos, then the status of the Tzlosos will impact whether you have mechitza number 3 and 4. And therefore, if he holds that it's Rishus HaYachid... What? It's coming from a different angle, but I'm saying that's the assumption is that you, in the way we define the minyan mechitza at a certain point is the air, meaning the mechitza's connect do.
Here I have Here I have two mechitzos connected, and all I have is over Meshavet. The Gemara Chav Beis, the Chachamim, I say what you have about the mechitzos. The Chachamim, there I only have two mechitzos. So
there, no, he's saying the mechitzos on top and bottom suffice.
No, two sides,
just
are
added.
Why would two be
in a bottom?
You could already hold that
way. Within the Kasha is within Rebuda. The way I'm understanding it, I don't want to get too far afield here. But Tosus Chayavin, right? Tosus here is asking, once Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Yehuda, so two mechitzas suffice, right? So you have, forget the sun, let's say the tzlosos are in east and west. He's saying you have your regular mechitzas, the chomos of Yerushalayim, a north and south. So who cares about Asi Rabbim knocking down the east and west? You have your two on top and the bottom.
For Rav Yehuda.
Yeah. I'm saying, but the assumption is that you're magdir the makum and its relationship to the mechitza is based on what it's given. And therefore, his answer is that no, you don't even have two. You don't have two because north and south are basically also have a bekia, and therefore, in this area, once you knock down the mechitzos due to Asi Rabim, now this person is standing in the middle.
Once you knock down the Asi
Rabim. I understood, but if you think that the koveya, if you think the things on the side would provide a mechitza.
That's Yerushalayim. The Movim Fulas. Movim Fulas, not Yerushalayim, it's more complicated. The Movim Fulas, you have two exact walls. You have two.
Yeah, on north and south, but not in the Telosos part.
Right.
But I'm saying, but you're in the Avir, meaning. I might be missing something, I don't know.
David's just saying that for these Avir scholars, believe that the Chachamim, the Hilchosah, that you need three walls, because you have it, and Al-Karpach, the doors are walls, if they're making it.
Meaning you need the door, you need that Delos to also function as your third Rishos Ayachad. And we'll see, meaning all
but
the
Rishos. It
does. Yeah. And we're going to see all the whole second approach, it's all about.
In the case of Sriracha, it is.
Yeah, and we'll see. According to Olam Mefarshim, we think that we take what we call the second approach of that being creating Rishos Ayachad by providing the necessary minyan mechitzos. The Delos is needed to provide either your third and your fourth. And the assumption is that you need the Delos for that. I think the assumption is because your Magdir, it doesn't matter that you have, you know, the Chomos on the other side. It depends on where you're standing. As long as you're connected, the Delosos, you need those to function as. Okay.
I think even if we wouldn't necessarily agree with your case with that thesis,
okay.
I don't think it would affect your Pshat and the Rashba.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Pshat and the Rashba is still. Meaning, you could invoke a Sirabi. You could invoke other factors, but it is a fair. I mean, it's a Derech HaMelech. If the Rashba didn't. I mean, if you wanted to remember the words Chosen and Sarah Yimshon as a Sirabi, then he did invoke it. But it's another way of saying if he didn't invoke it. Just to point out, the other approach in that text might be to be talking about piritzas, not to be talking about what's connected to. That, I think, is an open ground, meaning it may just be there's a piritza which creates. It doesn't matter what's connected to, but it matters that there are piritzas that don't allow for tzeru. But whatever approach you say in that, I mean, the point is that the rational doesn't talk about Yishalayim, he doesn't mention Shalayim at all. He's talking about a normal case where there are two walls on both sides, and you're trying to use the back wall to throw it in.
Okay.
Sorry. I think I'm fully understanding what you're saying, but. I wouldn't have said this if I didn't find this by accident. The Rashba on Chaf Beis Mem Beis in the sugya of Tel Mislaki and the Malach Marduk over there, he has a line, and somebody tell me if they think this is against another Beferi to Rashba, sorry, but he says, since it's not Doma to Digla Midbar, it's considered Shusiyachid. Like, Mishiri sounding.
Since that, what isn't?
That what he's talking about there is
like
the Tel Mislaki. So he doesn't say because it has mechitzos. He says, since it's not domo dingle mibar, it's a shusi yachid. And if you see asir rabin, it'll become a shusi rabin. If you don't see asir rabin, it'll stay a shusi yachid because it's not domo.
When it in a domo dingle mibar, it knocks down to a shusi
yachid.
You want me to read the highlight?
Is that about Delat? I mean, how is that connected?
Well, he just, you know.
Let me read it and then, yeah.
I'll give my favorite.
Hachi Kamar, Milo's Umordos. Elu mitzajin, is locked in asar mito arba. Arba. Ilav the rabin boken behen. I am rishus yach levisha in domin ledikle midbar.
It sounds like this. You could
that's
have
the gemara.
Well,
he's quoting from the gemara.
No, but
it's saying that
ledikle
midbar.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, but it's.
See,
yeah,
what's the relevance?
But,
the
point is, maybe he doesn't think the doors are mechitzos. It's just that
he doesn't say Doma Dei Lan Minbar either.
No, but I'm saying if
so what makes the Rishus Ayachid?
That it's not Rishus Ayachid.
I'm saying that's we'll get to that in a moment. But
I wouldn't have said it without the Rashi.
I'm saying, but even if you have that factor of Eino Doma Dei Lan Minbar, it doesn't invoke that here.
No, but that's what he means. Once it's not Rishus Rabin, Mila is Rishus Ayachid, they're not Mechitzos, and none of the Kashas are Kashas.
Don't worry about it. Just stop me off on that. Could you have a two-wall Rishus Ayachid?
No. He's saying it becomes.
Maybe you have a two-wall Rishus Ayachid.
You're saying
maybe you have. Maybe. Come and agree to two-wall Rishus Ayachid.
But they don't.
It's no walls. Meaning the possibility that he's suggesting.
The things that it does.
I think the possibility that Grun is suggesting is that you could have that you don't need a third machine here. Don't make a third machine in.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to deal with that. The Rashba all over says you need Kimmel Mechitzos.
Yes, that's what I want to know. There must be Rashbas against this, right?
Again, I think this is I think it's an interesting issue.
I'm just saying this: if you don't need wool for just the oven, then there's no surprise that he doesn't use the door as a wool, and there's no kasha on plasha either, because there are no walls.
Yeah, I'd rather assume, like, when the Rashba constantly says you need three walls, take
and
that.
And then what's she says it a lot.
Yeah, he says, like, right in this context. Yeah, he says...
What's the quote she keeps repeating?
Yeah.
You need three walls.
Yeah,
three.
I had Aleph Beis, Aleph Dalet, and Gimel Aleph, to be exact.
Like, somebody afterwards help me figure out what this is going on here.
Okay.
I don't know what's
going on. Noted. Okay, yeah, no, I'm assuming to take this Rashba in light of all the other Avodas HaKodesh pieces where he focuses on three mechitzos, I think the Pashtos is to assume that the Delas is functioning as a mechitza. Fine. Okay, it's a little unexpected. So first you have, like, basically Rashba, again, who takes this approach of the Da'at being mafkia, the function of the Rishis Rabbim. Fine. So another, I think, Rishon who accepts this is actually Rashi. Rashi and Kuf Aleph. If you look at Rashi and Kuf Aleph, this is the other Gemara which basically cites Rav Yochanan's Memra of the impact of Glossos. And Rashi here, if you look carefully, seems to similarly learn the direct impact of Dolosos Minolos, in terms of being Mafkia Rishis HaRabim. Again, no focus on Mechitzos, and specifically being Mafkia Rishis HaRabim through the functions. If you look at Dira Maskel Chayavin Aleha, in the second Rashi in on the Gemara, towards the bottom, Chayavin Aleha. Our first says, alright, Deir Shal Rabim Hi, fine, Shal Chlusun, Harbe Barin La, fine. Vol Achsha of Dolosos, now that you have right to Ninalos, Lab Rishis Rabbim, again, the primary direct impact is on its Rishis Rabbim status. No mention of Mechitzos or Rishis Yachid. Why? She'ina Kidigle Midbar, Shuderach Pasuach Kol Shah. So my understanding of this Rashi is that he's describing the function, basically, Doma Dibra Midbar establishes the function of Rishis Rabin being a derech pasuach kol shah, which is parallel to the Rashba's formulation, has to be accessible at all times, and therefore the impact of Dolosos is that it infringes upon that function, and that since it's not accessible at all times, so therefore you no longer have a Rishis Rabin. So again, I think the Rashi in line with the Rashba basically thinks the direct impact of the Dolosos is mafkia, the function of Rishis Rabbim, which is important.
But do you think there's a difference between the emphasis on Digla and Midbar?
Some, yeah.
And just saying that that's a Rishis Rabbim characteristic?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Because it could be that it isn't so much functional as structural. In other words, every Rishis Rabbim has to be in the paradigm of the Digla and Midbar. And Digla and Midbar doesn't have any. It's not a
but not like a, not a tsura of the foolish, but new
right.
Fact.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah, it could be. So just, I guess, we both have to contend with, is that it's important, again, just to note, again.
You might get the same effect, in other words, in the sense of what you're interested in mostly, which is that it's not about your tsuras, which is a yachid, but it's about afgaz, which is around,
sure.
For different reasons.
Yeah, and just, the sub-issue in terms of, how to go about that, I was assuming it's like this first option of, impact disrupting the function, contrast to see next, but you're saying Rashi could be another side also. Yeah, could be. It's important either way, number one, important to note that this is not the way Tosfos and Vav and Beis understands Rashi, right? When we'll get to this in a moment, that Rashi and Vav and Beis, right, when he's explaining the Shach V'Tarya and the Gemara, when the Gemara quotes Rav Yochanan, right, he understands the Gemara as proving from Rav Yochanan they need two dwasas. So again, in that context, we'll get to this later, Tosfos assumes that the need for two dolosos relates to the necessary minyan mechitzos. So again, Tosfos places Rashi on the second approach. It's all about yitziras, which is a yachid. I'm just pointing out that if you look at Rashi on Kuf Aleph, where he himself formulates the primary impact of dolosos, it seems like he's not learning like Tosfos. That he thinks it's really about the function impacting the function of the Rishis Rabbim. And just to put these two Rashis together, but now that we say, I don't know, we're trying to say that really Rashi holds like the Rashba in the sense that the primary direct impact is on the function of the Rishis Rabbim, but yet, in contrast to the Rashba who says, oh, the Shita see that it's all about the function of the Rishis Rabbim, of course, all you need is one Delas. They put the Rashi and Kuf Aleph together with the Rashi and Bava and Beis, again, Dira Maskel Chayavin Aleha, it's very clear that he requires two Delasas. So again, if you put that together, what comes out is that basically there seems to be a Mafokas Rashi and the Rashba within again, this Hafkas Rishis Rabin, more specifically, Hafkas Rishis Rabin through impacting the function, there seems to be machlokis in terms of how do you define the function of a Rishis Rabin, say, of a Mabin with Lush, and depending on how you define that function will impact whether you need one Delos to break that function or whether you require two. Right? Just simply, the Rashba who thinks that one Delos suffices to break the function basically holds that a Mabin with Lush, in order for it to have the function of Mabin with Lush, it needs to basically enable, facilitate, you know, access in and out of the city from both directions. And therefore, if you, are chosem one side, you're already sufficiently mafkia the necessary function of the Mabin with Lush. Rashi seems to argue, seems to have a little less ambitious, version of the function of Rishis Rabin, and say, no, as long as you're able to enter and exit the city in one direction, that's going to suffice. And therefore, the only way to sufficiently disrupt the function of Rishis Rabin such that you're mafkia at Shem Rishis Rabin is by putting up two dwalsos, which therefore block access in both directions. So again, just...
Is a mubbing of Fulash connecting, in and out of the city? I thought...
Or even within the city. I was thinking more of mubbing Fulash is that central street throughout the city, which then allows you to go to the Sratia, but there are different ways to say it. You can say also just in terms of ease of access within the mubbing of Fulash, same idea.
Is it the mubbing of Fulash is to connect, the Chatzeris to the Rishis Rabin, so that, which is, Rashi does speak about that, so then stopping off on one side also should interfere with this function.
So I'm not sure about that. Rashi, you got to contend with this Rashi, which I think if you put together the Kufalov, somehow he understands the function of Mavim and Fulish such that the only way to sufficiently disrupt and negate that function is really with two. So again, you could work on the exact parameters of that.
Is your pshat hinged on the fact that it makes it only into a cardinalis? And that's what you have to think. They're actually Hafkos, Shemesh, or Rabin, then that was a cardinalis.
That's stage one. Again, it's open. Stage,
of course, then there might be something else.
Yeah, exactly. That's a separate issue. Right now, I'm just focusing on
the first. Just because Rashi has, Rashi involved in, I'm sure it's part of the Chazar, Rashi does say that its immediate impact is to make it to Chazar Shel Rabin.
I think likely it will. Like the Rashba.
It is immediate. There's no further tikkun.
Exactly. I'm just saying in terms of the primary, I think that's what Kuvalov is focusing on, the primary impact.
It turns into karmelos and then it becomes
exactly, because we're saying now, because you have to go in that order, because if you're not mafkiya the Shem Rishis Rabin, then just having the necessary minim mechitzos is not going to suffice. 100%. Just one ha'ara is that, according to Rashi, that he basically learns the Shachar V'Tari involved in Beis, is the Havmina thinking that one suffices, the Maskana is that two suffices, it could be what we're defining as machokas, Rashi, Rashba could be, even for Rashi, is, the transition between the Havamina and Maskan, the Gemara. Havamina thinking that one suffices like the Rashba, that's the function is to such an extent that even one suffices to break it. Kamashim one, they know, say, a lower standard of function such that you require two. Fine.
How
do
you
even
understand this machokas? Is that a technical point about how you, or is it more fundamental, is this a Sratya or is it the Kiya Sratya? In other words, if something is a sratya, so there has to be a way in it, as opposed to it doesn't cordon off from the Rishis Rabin, so there's it's stronger than Nifrats because it's actual entry into. Mm-hmm. So then, or do you think it's he could always go out the way he got in?
I definitely there's room to work on exactly the parameters. Whether it's like a sheer question or it's really fundamentally different versions of the function that's definitely open. So the other, version within the self-cause, which is Rabin, the question is, which defining characteristic is the Delos coming to impact? So the first version we've been discussing from the Rashba and the Rashi is that it's the function of the Rishis Rabin. That's what we've been developing. And then a second version out there is that it's not, impacting necessarily the function, but it's about really the Tzura. So the final I mentioned before, you could learn Rashi like that. But another, Makor is clear on this is the Taz, right? And the Taz in Shin Mem Daled, hey, basically says, all you need is one Delos. Why? Not like the Rashba says it, but because, one Delos suffices to break the Befulish. Since, a requisite, or a Tanai in Rishis Rabim is that it's Befulish, open at both ends. Once you put up one Delos, you break the Befulish, and therefore it's no longer a Rishis Rabim. So again, a different version of the same idea that's about being Mashkiah, the Rosh Hashanah, but again, in contrast to the Rashba and Rashi, who seem to be focusing on the function of the Rosh Hashanah, the Taz says it a little slightly different way in terms of rather breaking, let's say, the necessary tzura of the Rosh Hashanah. Just important, just in terms of the Placha issue, since according to most Rishonim, almost all except for like one Kedusha Aron and Shabbos, since according to most Rishonim, Placha does not require the Tanai of Mefulash, so presumably even the Taz's, you know, version of the Delos should seemingly be like the Rashba and not impact a Placha as well. Just that would something that would come out of the Taz. Fine. So far that was the first issue within the Hafkas Rosh Hashanah, you know, approach in terms of what exactly is a defining characteristic being neutralized by the placement of the Placha. The second issue, I specifically want to separate these two issues, the second issue is what we referenced earlier, is the open question is that if, according to this first approach, right, the primary impact of the Dlossos, the Mafkia, the Shem Rosh Hashanah, the question is, do Dlossos stop there and leave it as a Carmelis? Or no, do you see that Dlossos also have a secondary, you know, impact of also functioning as Mechitzos to therefore then turn the Carmelis into Erish Asiyach? Just to note, that at the very possibility of saying that it stops, right, the Dlossos, you know, leave the Malkum as at a Carmelis, is obviously only a possibility within this first approach. Obviously, if you take the second approach, it's all about Dlosso, I mean, the only impact of Dlossos is to function as Mechitzos and turn this Malkum, to transform this Malkum into Rishus Yachid. Obviously, there's no question, it's Rishus Yachid. So, as we'll see, if Rishonim say, oh, even after Dlossos is still a Carmelis, they're clearly taking this first general approach that the impact of Dlossos is on the Mafgia, the Shem Rishus Aravim. Again, unclear, we'll see which version it is, whether it's the function of the Tzura, but in general sense, it's clear that they would be accepting this first general approach that it's about the Mafgia, the Shem Rishus Aravim, and not about Rishus Yachid. Oh, so just in terms of the issue, so I would say the Pashup Pshat in the Sugya is that Dlossos end up transforming the Makom into Rishus Yachid, and which would result in a Heter Tiltil even Midrabanan. That's probably the simple understanding, is that Dlossos, Nidlos are completely Matir, and therefore would, like we saw in the Rashba, and it was quoted before, the Rashi also, think that again, while the first stage is Bimafki, the Shem Rishus Rabin, there's a secondary stage of the Dlossos also functioning as Mechitzos. There's two other important Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, which is quoted by the Meiri on Dav Vav, and the Rabbeinu Yonasan on the spot on Dav Vav. They both hold that Dlossos Ninilos are only Mafkia the Rosh Hashanah, but even after the placement of the Dlossos, there still should be the Isser Tzilta Midrabanan, because the area is still a Carmelis and not a Rosh Hashanah. And they point to that aforementioned, you know, Gemara on Kuf Aleph, where the Gemara, the Farish, calls Yerushalayim, post, you know, Rav Yochanan's Dlossos, a Carmelis. So they take that Gemara Kipshuta to say, yeah, even after Dlossos, the area at hand is a Carmelis, and therefore it should, Lamaisa, have an Isser Tiltil Midrabanan. And again, as we pointed out before, this Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Rabbeinu Yonasan are clearly within this first general approach that the direct impact of Dlossos is on the Shemafkiyah, the Shem Rishus Rabim. And they additionally hold that, and we'll get to this right now, that their second assumption is that the Dlossos seemingly do not function as Mechitzos. And therefore, the only impact of the Dlossos is to impact either the function of the Tzura or the Rosh Hashanah. But at the end of the day, they lack a Shem Mechitza even when they're Ninalis. And I'm about to discuss that right now. I should just discuss them. Raising the hand sometimes means you have something to say. Yeah. Do you want to say something?
I'll
say that. Okay.
you're taking the
Carmelis din as a sign that it's not a Rosh Hashanah.
Let's say Midrabanan.
So you don't have three or four Mechitzos. So it's clear. It's a good question.
You're so sure that it's not
Darisa? No, I'm saying they say it's a but yeah.
No, it's a Tiltil Darabana.
Yeah, it can even be Midaraisa. And you're asking, how do I know that it is Rosh Hashanah, but it's not Isser Tiltil? So it's clear, it's interesting, it's a good question, that when the Meiri cites Rabbeinu Ephraim, he rejects it and says, what are you talking about? And the Gemara Kuf Aleph calls Yerushalayim a Carmelis, it doesn't mean Carmelis. Gemura, I think his lashon is. It just means Isser Tiltal. Exactly. So the implication, the contrast, is that this sheet of Rabbeinu Ephraim says, no, it's not a Rosh HaSayachin, I think even Midaraisa, because you lack the minyan mechitzos, and therefore, I think...
I thought the name of the next is Kun Faker. He brings a rise from the Rambam, to Yudah
Aleph. Who?
He brings those three definitions on you. When he goes against Rabbeinu Ephraim, he brings a rise from the Rambam, Yudah Aleph. He says it's mashma from the Rambam, Yudah Aleph, that there's no Isser Tiltal, Mizesh, and Hishka, the... Yushalayim is supposed to say, and those Balayla, two Chatzar Sheshah, Mabah Sheshah, Dumum Mechitzah, Balachi Tetzibah. Now, Hayala, that's a Raya.
Meaning that the losses Nidalos are Mechitzahs. That's against this Shita who holds that it's not.
Wouldn't there be a far more telling Raya from the Rambam itself? Instead of bringing from the Sushta between Mavoy with a Lechi, and you try with losses, just say the Rambam writes in the Furish, which would say Achad Murahi. If there was a Machlokas Dereisa here, if he had it sad, the Rambam mentioned what he said Dereisa, say the Rambam says, which would say Achad Murahi, you're calling it a Karmelos. That's his fake Machlokas. Why does he says it's Mashma, that the Rambam disagrees with the Sabin Ephraim, Mizeh, that he was Mitzashtel between Mavoy, Sheishal Lechi, and Yushalayim with losses and Nidolos. Wait! Bring a much better riot. Say, Mishuzi Yachad Murahi. The Rambam calls Yushan Mishuzi Yachad Murahi.
I have to look at it again.
It's the Mi'iwi took of it at the right level. And when you're saying at the end there, I think I believe it's Fakir. When Mi'iwi is trying to tell you a Vada that still is in Isser Tiltal because it's Chasar Eruv, which is what the Gemara meant to Kofal. He has to explain the Gemara.
No, that's,
I don't believe
that's
that he's
contrasting.
I don't think he's contrasting. I don't think he has to do. But
he's saying you're Rabbeinu Ephraim, you're reading the Gemara wrong.
Exactly. But
it's not an Isser Tiltal, it's Karmelos Tavko.
Chaser Eruv is different than a Chaser Eruv building a Karfei.
I can
hear you. Karfei is just a Yachid Arais, but with an Isser Tiltal Belvana. As opposed to an Isser Eruv Chaser Eruv, it's coming from a completely different area.
I didn't read the Phoenician here.
In the Bismarck, it was very. I guess.
You also
have
the
Bismarck
here?
What?
You also have the Bismarck here? Yeah, I'm saying. I thought it was clear from the. You're reading the Gemara wrong. This is. Because the whole point is, Rabbeinu Ephraim thinks, there's no Eruv on a Karmelos. There's no Eruv to be mounted. There's no Eruv to be Karmelos. That's a Rabbeinu Yonasan also.
Yeah, Rabbeinu Yonasan says that.
I believe Rabbeinu Yonasan. I have no problem saying Rabbeinu Yonasan. I just didn't understand. At least Miri didn't read. At least in Chiddush HaMiri, I didn't think. I mean, how? Why would he ask a guy?
We have to deal with it. I think it's.
I read based on here, but based on here, I think it's.
Okay. In many other some, there's no rival with other. Obviously, the general material with someone who calls him a Karmelos is not to play it down. But I thought once.
Also, your Rabbeinu Yonasan is all about, and therefore you can't have a head turn.
Point there's a meaning because the Nekuda in the Rabbeinu Yonasan as well. Okay. I'm saying, and therefore I don't know why I didn't say
it. It's a question, notwithstanding the question, I think the contrast between Karmelos being understood as a simon for Isser Tiltal.
Either way, the point that you're trying to make is that according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, and Rabbeinu Yonasan, this is definitely not Rosh HaSayachin, it's not a Mechitza.
Exactly.
That one is not true. If you do believe that Rabbeinu Ephraim only meant it on the level of and is there are bar of Isser Tiltal, then Yitaka could have, even at the...
I thought he uses the expression when he's quoting that Shita, when he's quoting the Rebbeinu Ephraim Shita, that being a with a Karmelos. So is that a way of saying that this is somebody Isser Tiltal?
I thought what he meant, but again, it was... When you
see
it... Say
more, would you give more weight to the deal in your question you asked of the Rambam than the language of a Isser, a with
to the Karmelos? I think Chiddush HaMiri is a lashon of Karmelos Gemura in contrast to Isser Tiltal.
I
and then again, he himself is saying, by the way, I think he's not. The Mar is the expression of Karmelos.
Miri has to, how can Miri not say that? Miri has to explain what it's about. I didn't think Miri could get to the end of it. That wasn't surprising to me. That is true. Meaning, Rashi and Davod, so I didn't need to explain Karmelos. So he just,
Okay, I think time's up. So I think within at least my interpretation is that the Rabbeinu Yonasan and Rabbeinu Ephraim, I think it's actually a Karmelos, if we're again point number one is that they're clearly thinking that the direct impact of Dlossus Nidalos is to be mafkia l'shem Yisrael. The second important assumption is that they don't think that the Dlossus Nidalos, seemingly even when they're locked, right, they don't, it sounds like it's always a karmelis, even when they're locked, the Dlossus Nidalos do not function as mechitzos. The question I'd like just to ask is, what exactly could the chisaron of a Delos Nidalos be such that you wouldn't grant them a shem mechitza? So I think the answer to this question will relate to the factor noted later, as we'll see, by the Tosfos Greater Peretz. Tosfos Greater Peretz points out, and to explain, we'll say Shitas Tosfos, that Delos Nidalos is in a mechitza gemura. So again, we'll get to that later. It is a quasi-mechitza, it's not a mechitza gemura, but the way Tosfos Greater Peretz explains, again, what's the chisaron of Delos Nidalos, he says it's in a kvua. It's not a permanent mechitza. Meaning, its function, I will say, of stopping the Rambam, is eino kvua, is not permanent. So I had to borrow that idea and say, well, granted, the Balei Tosfos see that chisaron as only knocking down from the level of mechitza gemura to a non-mechitza gemura. We'll get to that later. It's possible to explain that these shitos, Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rabbeinu Yonasan, take that yisod further to say that this factor of this lack of permanence, this factor of eino kvua, is basically dictates you do not have any shem mechitza. Now, what's the idea? The big chiddush here, obviously, being at the present moment, it's locked and it's functioning as good as any wall would. It prevents, it prevents even the kiyas rabin. So, the big chiddush of this idea of the Tosfos Greater Peretz is that when we're judging a mechitza, we don't just look at the here and now, at the present. We also take into account future potential. I think the reason for that, which we'll return to later, is that when we're dealing particularly with how we're going to be magdir, let's say, the status of a certain makom, people say the rishus status of a certain makom, is the status of rishus is not a short-term status, such that it could be, subject to, fluctuating, constantly. It's rather a, I don't want to say permanent, but rather a long-term status, which will remain barring any unforeseeable, major changes. Obviously, everyone's going to agree that if a tornado comes and knocks down a wall, that will, make us reassess, the status of the rishus of this makom. But suggesting that the reason why this fact of inner kavua is taken into account, even though in the here and now it's a full mechitza gemura, the reason why we take into account the future is because the nafkamina that we're dealing with in terms of being magdir rishus a certain makom is not a short-term gather. It's long-term. You need to be magdir. This makom in hand is either a rishus yachid or rishus rabim for the foreseeable future. And therefore, the factor of the potential for it to be unlocked is going to be taken into account even in terms of how you are magdir it as a shem mechitza in the present.
Yeah. Doesn't really kind of self hold that it does work at night, not during the day?
No.
Maybe it goes to your friend and say, The chizor wouldn't necessarily be that ena kvua makes it bais mechitza gansen. It's more tempered than that. Know that when it's there, we can appreciate it. Although maybe for chagmas, but for traditions,
yeah, there's two different issues.
Maybe that's exactly why. Maybe this is a tiered approach. Dying that he's bothered by ena kvua always, so even when it's there, it's gonna be a chagmas.
To me, it'd be two different issues. The fluctuating of meaning v'layla yom would be in terms of, the function of Rosh Hashanah, not taking a stand that he's rejecting the whole ace idea, which says you need a function to be 24 hours a day, and say, no, whenever the function exists, it exists, whenever it doesn't exist, it doesn't exist. But here, for the issue of mechitzos, So there, he sounds like he says, there never is mechitzah. It's always a karmelis. So I'm saying for that, the factor of ina kavua, I'm suggesting, is what undermines mechitzah.
Right. I'm saying it's not a factor about mechitzah to do a karmelis with Rav. It's a factor about mechitzah to get it from karmelis to shazir.
Exactly, because the Rishas Rabban factor is not related to mechitzahs.
I thought you could bring those two things together. You could, you know, I mean, it's. I thought Dafka was more, maybe one approach. I mean, he doesn't see it.
Okay. Is
Rabbi Yonason? I think. I think Rabbi Yonason is going the opposite way. I wasn't sure Rabbi Yonason necessarily. Rabbi Yonason sounds like he says a chutzah which has rabbin going through it isn't subject to any of these things. It's only because it's not a chutz, it's a marble. I thought for him, the etzim wasn't a din in the mechitza as much as a din in the tafket, and therefore I thought the whole parameters would fall away. I mean, these aren't the right parameters. We're talking about chutz being the ideal, you know, creating actual shetziyach, no matter how many people are there. Marble, because it's sort of need time to it being, but it's not a chisar mechitza as much as a chisar that it really worked. But it's all.
The
Rambam, I think it's Gemara, that Mutalas is Mechitza Shal B'nai Adam. B'nai Adam standing around.
So I'm not understanding the connection.
They're not Kabua.
Well, Al Yedei B'nai Adam. Well, the Rambam doesn't necessarily hold to this idea. Hold this kisson. I'm saying the Rambam doesn't necessarily hold this kisson.
I thought it was a
question. That's a kashan that tells you.
Again, you can still
make
a colleague between those things because
this is like built into.
This is built in that it's
built in is open. Yeah.
So it's a fluctuating. It's supposed to fluctuate. Pizza al kidin. There could be three or four ideas. You could say it's a fluctuating pizza or whatever. It's there. It's not. Or you could say it's a fluctuating mechitza, the fact that sometimes it's not means that it's never. Or you could say it's a fluctuating mechitza, the fact that it's sometimes there means it's consistent, it's always there. Or you could say that it's a fluctuating mechitza, and then whether you consider that to be all there or all not there or fluctuating depends on the type of rishus harabim or rishus that you're trying to overcome or the type of rishus that you're trying to create. It's like those are four.
The last one resonated.
Okay.
I forgot to keep going.
That's something worth doing. So Ad Kan is the, you know, so-called the Hafkas, Nevushas Rabim approach. Again, that the direct impact is Nevushas Rabim. Fine. So now moving on to the second approach, which thinks that the direct impact of Delosos is on the Delosos functioning as Mechitzos, basically transforming the Makom at hand into a Rishus HaYachad by providing the necessary minyan mechitzos. So this approach is clearly adopted by two groups of mefarshim. First group, we'll discuss in just a moment, are those Rishonim who basically, when discussing the issue of minyan losos, whether you need one or two, directly relate that issue to the minyan mechitzos required for Rishus HaYachad. Again, implying that the issue at hand, that the direct impact of the Dlossos, again, as providing, functioning as mechitzos to provide you the necessary minyan mechitzos to create a Rishus HaYachad. That's one group, and we'll get to details of that momentarily. The second group of Mefarshim, again, who adopt this Yitziras Rishus HaYachad approach, are those many Mefarshim who reject the Rashba's Chiddush by Plach. Okay, as noted by Chacham Tzvi and others, is that with the exception of the Rashba, again, we also know the Ramban, and then test with an abuta says is that basically most Mefarshim says a lot of that basically really through omission, but basically disagree with the chiddush of the Rashba and say that no, that Dulasas Ninalos will also have an impact on Plachim. Again, there are probably different ways to say it, but I think the simple way of understanding these sheets, and this is definitely the way some of the Achronim say it, is that basically who cares that the Dulasas Ninalos are not going to impact the function of Plachim. Granted, the function of Plachim as Mokom of Kibbutz Rabim is not impacted Kiyuzah by the Mechitzas. At the end of the day, Dolosos, Ninolos provide the necessary minyan Mechitzas, and once you turn this Mokom into Rishus HaYachid, that suffices. Who cares that the function and Surah of the Rishis Rabbim is still intact. So again, both from the minion, both from the people who focus on the creation of Rishis Yachid through the minion Delosos, and from those who reject the Chiddush of the Rashi by Placha, and we should add, it's an interesting phenomenon that many Achronim can't even like conceive of interpreting the Rashi of Kipshuto, because they basically take this latter approach and say, of course, if you have Dalet Mechitzos, which are surrounding the Placha, of course that should be Matir, and that's a feel like that they, some of them bring. We referenced earlier, they say, oh, must with the Rashba is limited to a case where it's the Delosos of the Medina, and therefore they're not Mitzuruf to the Placha. But Lu Yitzuyar, you had Delosos and Mechitzos, which were Mitzuruf to the Placha, and then of course that would transform the Placha into a Rosh Hashanah. Again, like this approach, the direct impact of Delosos, Ninlos, is about transforming the Makom into a Rosh Hashanah, which is thereby going to overcome the Rosh Hashanah. So just to analyze that, the major assumption within this approach is that in stark contrast, right, to the first approach of the Rashba and the Rashi, who think that when you have a clash to Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah is going to overcome. And therefore, like the perfect test case of Placha, where you have the function of Rosh Hashanah clashing, the Pshuto, with your Mechitzos, right, the Rashba with the Imei hold that the Rosh Hashanah is going to win out. So these Mefarshim, it's clearly, expressed in the litmus test of Placha, holding out the opposite. Whenever you have a clash between a Rosh Hashanah, which is the function of the Tzura of Rosh Hashanah on the one hand, and Mechitzos and the structure of Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah is going to trump. So I'd like to understand, what exactly is the svara behind this sheet? We explained before why Rosh Hashanah would trump Rosh Hashanah, assuming that part of the gedder of Rosh Hashanah is that it's separation from the function and of the Rosh Hashanah. Question is, what is the tzad to say the opposite direction according to this second approach that really Rosh Hashanah trumps Rosh Hashanah? So, two suggestions. One my own, and one from my follow-up. So, the first suggestion, a simple idea, is that basically the reason why Rosh Hashanah trumps Rosh Hashanah when there's a clash is because Rosh Hashanah, right, basically the unit of Yachid is a more basic unit than Rabbah. And therefore, from like an order of operations, type perspective, basically we say that the default Rishus is Rishus a Yachid. It's the most basic unit. And therefore, as long as you check off the box for all the requirements of Rishus a Yachid, you have your minim mechitzos, right away we're going to grant it that status. First approach. The second approach, in a certain sense, the opposite, my follows is suggesting, hinting to it, towards the end of his first chavura, is that, again, in a sense, the opposite, because according to those shittos, like the Rambam, who hold that really Rishus HaRabim, in a sense, is the default Rishus, in the sense that it is the easiest Rishus to create. Again, the Rambam, who rejects the requirement of Shishim Ribon, doesn't require the presence of the Rabim, but all the Rambam requires for Rishus HaRabim is for it to be a mukum, which could facilitate the Rabim. So according to the same Rambam who holds that as a Rishus Rabbim is the easiest Rishus to create, is related to the other Shita of the Rambam, who basically holds that Rishus Yachid requires four Mechitzos. And like, because Rishus Rabbim is really the default, Rishus Rabbim is the default Rishus, therefore you need a more formidable structure because a Rishus Yachid needs to be a more formidable structure to be able to overcome the default Rishus Rabbim. But once you create that formidable structure, Rambam, the Shitaso, holding that the Pashas, holding that you need four mechitzos. Once you create that and you cross that threshold, in a sense, that let's say that that Rosh Hashanah becomes like a juggernaut, in a sense. And therefore, one, it's my terminology, but used in different contexts.
It's like close, but it
overcomes. So in this manifestation of it, once you create that juggernaut, it will overcome the competition of Rosh Hashanah. And other manifestations of that, what I was suggesting related to this, is also the dinim of Rishus Yachid Ola Rakia, and the din of Chorei Rishus Yachid Ki Rishus Yachid. Again, all three manifesting or stemming from this idea that, in a sense, because Rishus Rabim is the default Rishus, therefore in order to overcome that, you need a more formidable structure, but once you create that structure, now it becomes a juggernaut, like a bubble, which is able to overcome anything in its way, which therefore, in this context, it would dictate that once you have that clash, then the Rosh Hashanah is going to overcome the Rosh Hashanah. So again, either because Rosh Hashanah overcomes Rosh Hashanah either because Rosh Hashanah is the most basic, and therefore from an order of operations type perspective, you just always go with that first, or this other idea that Rosh Hashanah is really a juggernaut. Fine. So within the second approach, this is called the Tziras Rosh Hashanah approach, right, the function of the Tzlausos is all about, you know, creating, basically functioning as Mechitzos. So I'd like to discuss three various issues, you know, in the Sugya, which are important to analyze from the vantage point of Tzlausos functioning as Mechitzos. So the first issue, which we just referenced before, is the issue in the Sugya of Minyan Mechitzos, right? The question being, do you need one Minyan Tzlausos? Does one Dala suffice? Or do you need two pluses? And again, we'll see, it all ties into the Shachar Tar of the Gemara, depending on how you learn the question from Rav Yochanan. Is that Gufa asking that you need two, and therefore it's clearly Maskana, Rav Yochanan is understood as saying that you need two pluses, or if you learn it, the question is not relating to the minion pluses, but rather to the question of whether it's Nenelas or not, so then it's open to still saying that even the Maskana, Rav Yochanan only requires one dalas. But so just going through the Shittos, and just to point out that this issue of Minyan Tzlausos, again, is, because we discussed that in the context of the first approach, and again, according to the first approach, when we saw as Machokis, Rashba, Rashi, again, there the analysis is completely different. There the analysis relates to what is needed to disrupt the function of the Rosh Hashanah. But again, within this approach, that the function, the Tzlausos is not about the Shem Rosh Hashanah. It's about creating Mechitzos. Again, we have to, you know, change our focus and basically analyze the Machlokas of one or two from a Mechitzos, you know, standpoint and nothing to do with the function of Rosh Hashanah. So just in terms of the Shittos, right, the following Rishonim who hold that one Delas suffices. And that's number one is the Ritzvah. Ritzvah in source number three. Right, the Ritzvah here basically says all you need is one Delas, as we'll see, because Delas is Mechitza Gemura, and therefore it provides you that third mechitza. Now you have three mechitzas, you have your Rosh Hashanah. Look at source number three, Abalo Parchina de Yerushalayim. But you know, Shtei Dlasos, again, don't learn the Shach of Atarya, the Gemara is asking, proving from Rabbi Yochanan that you need two Dlasos. Beis Hillel Sagilu Bechad Lechanani, and the question being that the Shita of Beis Hillel says one suffices. What? The Hapshita, the Kevin de Sheshalosh Mechitzas Min HaTorah, Dayo Bedelas Achas Kimo Beshtayim. Again, since the function of the Delos is to function as a Mechitza, so once you have, you know, your Mechitza's Gemura, since the north and the south, you need one more Delos to grant you that third, you know, minion, that third Mechitza, to give you the necessary minion Mechitzas. Again, it's just important that Lishitaso, to this focus of the Ritzvah here, Delos is functioning as a Mechitza, and in source number four, the Ritzvah also in Chabez, in the Sugya of Asi Rabbim, again, also, I think, is a nice formulation where it's basically characterizes the direct impact of the Tzlausos, not in terms of being mafkir Rosh Hashanah, but rather in terms of providing mechitzos. Source number four, Sivaham Rabba Baruchanam, Rabbi Yochanan Yerushalayim, Umalei Tzlausos Seh, Ninolos Belayla. Again, that's the memory of Rabbi Yochanan. Pirish, Bechol Shid Tzlausos Seh, Ninolos Belayla. What's the impact? Nidon Kistima Gemura, Umechitza Shlema, Ukilu Yishkan, Dalad Mechitzos. Again, there's not the Ikrasukas, so he's not Mechalai between one or two. But again, it's clear there too that the Ritzvah L'Shitaso again is accepting this Yitziras Rosh Hashanah approach, and therefore it says that the impact of the Delos is to provide you that necessary third Mechitza, and that suffices. Again, the other point here is that he calls it a Mechitza Shlema, which again, you know, in contrast to say Tosfos, he says you require two because Mechitza in a Shlema. So again, Ritzvah L'Shitaso thinks that one Delos suffices because he also thinks that Mechitza is that a Delos, Ninelos, is a Mechitza Gemur. So those two Ritzvahs, I think, work out nice with one another. And the other Shita that seems within the Mechitza approach, who thinks that one suffices, is similarly is the Shita of the Ri and Tosis, at least as understood by the Magen Avraham. Basically, we'll get back to the Shachar Tari and Tosis in just a moment, but basically, Tosis here, of Avram Beis, Dir Maskel Baham Rabba, basically first quotes Rashi, who requires two Tosis, asks on him and says, why would you need two Dlasos? One should suffice, because in addition to the other two Mechitzos, you have one Dalas should suffice to give you the third necessary Mechitzos. So why do you need a fourth? We'll get back to Tosa's answer. Then the Ri gives his alternative to Rashi, his alternative explanation of the Shachar Tari of the Gemara, and says the question is not about one or two. The question is rather about whether you need Ninelas or not Ninelas. So the Magen Avraham infers from the Ri, they're basically taking the Shachar Tari of Tosa's, you know, through, that basically the Ri agrees with Tosfos' kasha and says one should suffice because one should suffice because it grants you that third mechitza and three mechitzos suffice for Rishus Yachid. And that's why the Ri therefore adopts an alternative interpretation of the Gemara. And so the question is obviously not about needing two because you don't need two, but rather it's about whether it needs to be locked. Again, so Pesach the Magen Avraham b'shem the Ri that Ri agrees with the Ritzvah to say that you only need one delos. Again, just the important assumptions of these shitos is number one that they're right understanding that the impact of delos as a mechitza. Number one, number two, they hold that Rishus HaYachad generally suffices with three mechitzos. Consumption number three is that a delos is a mechitza gemur. Again, which I think it works out well with Ritzvah Lishitoso and Chav Beis where it explicates that idea. And the second, shita in the sugya within the mechitza approach is that you need two delosses. What? Yeah, I'm going to get to that. Contrast with gemur. So the second approach in the second group of Rishonim, we're basically holding out, you need two dlossos. So that is Rashi and Golan Beis, as pointed out, right? He learns the Shachar Vitaria as proving from Rav Yochanan that two dlossos are required. So again, we thought earlier based on Kuf Aleph that Rashi is not in the discussion at all. He's really about being Mafkiya, the Shem Rishus Rabin, but it's important to know that Tosos, then interprets Rashi as being within the Mechitza's approach. So again, at least Tosos, Shem Rashi, requires two mechitzos, two dlossos, to round out to four mechitzos. We'll get that in a moment. And the Rambam, which we'll discuss later, Rambam both in Shabbos, Yudalid, Aleph, and Irvin, Aleph clearly requires two mechitzos. And again, in both those contexts are focused on the minyan mechitzos for Rishus HaYachid. And both, you have both, say, Tosfos B'Shem Rashi, and the Rambam holding that within the approach of dlossos, providing mechitzos, that you need two dlossos to basically get you a total of four. So the question is, why would you need four mechitzas? Why do you need two dlossos to give you the total of four? So there are two different explanations. One explanation is to say, and this is the way Simchas authority explains it, that Rashi and Rambam l'shitaso. He understands both Rashi and the Rambam as holding that you always need four mechitzas. So according to that approach, it's simple. It's simple. You need two dlossos. Each dalos is a mechitza gemura. At the end of the day, you need sach hakol four mechitzas. So that issue has been discussed both within the Rambam and Rashi in previous kapurim. I can go back there, but it's definitely an assumption more pashut that the Rambam holds that for that you need four, not so pashut that the Rashi holds of it. Tani discussed it, Fallon discussed it, Seth discussed it. But again, that's one way to take this Rashi, is to say that if Rashi always requires four mechitzas, this would be another good example of that, and that's why you would need please Tosfos B'Shem Rashi, then you therefore need two mechitzas. But the other way to explain the need for two dlossos, the other way to explain the need for two dlossos within the mechitzas approach is that is the explanation given by Tosfos. So just to read this inside, it's very important. Tosfos asks the kasha, Tosfos Bavam Abayz, to ask of Hamarabba, basically asks the imtomer, as he quotes Rashi, second line in Tosfos, Kevon de Yishlo Bez mechitzos, since you have two regular mechitzos, the walls on the other ends, north and south, Rishlisha is Pinanelis, and you have your third Delos and Nelos, Havi Gimel Mechitzos. You have your three. Kaman Amar Dechol Yosef LeBeisilo Shalosh Mechitzos Dereis and Pashas and his Shitas Tosis. That three suffice. So why in the world would Rashi, right? Assuming Tosis, assuming that Rashi only needs Delosos to get you the minyan Mechitzos. So once you only need for minyan Mechitzos, so one Delos should suffice to round out to three. To be Yishlomar LePirusho, the Hainu Dafka Hecha Deika Gimel Mechitzos Gemuros Havi Dereis. The only time that three mechitzos suffice for Rishus HaYachid is when you're dealing with three mechitzos gemuros. Olhacha d'shlishes al yidei delas revius nami tzarach delas. But when you're dealing with a delas, implication is a delas, which is a mechitza ain a gemura. So therefore, you need two telasos, you need four. So to point that out earlier, right? While Tosos is not clear exactly what the chizar and what is the factor which causes it to be ain a gemura, point out Tosfos Ben Haparetz explicates a little bit by formulating not in Gemura, but rather in a Kavua, which I pointed out before, is this Yisog that we don't, by Mechitzos, based on Rishuyos, we don't just look at the present, we also take into account the future as well, and therefore the fact that right now it's Nelos, but the fact that it can be easily, unlocked, and therefore won't serve the function as a Mechitza, and won't be, won't prevent the Bekiyas Radim, so therefore we take that into account to make that into a Mechitza She'ena Gemura. And just, as we pointed out before, is that in contrast, we were suggesting Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Yonasan, who take nechisaron, say, and therefore you don't have any shein mechitza. Obviously, the Bali Tosos argue and say, oh, that's a chisaron, that dictates that it's not a mechitza gemura, but it knocks it down a notch to mechitza in a gemura, but they still think that it has a shein mechitza. Again, that's Lushi Toso. Titoso is on base and base. But the following we'll discuss in the second Chabura, where Dima asks for El Miata, where Tosos basically characterized Delas, Ninelas, as a mechitza ma'anis. Well, obviously, in isolation, you would assume that the mechitza ma'anis would also mean Gemura, but if you put the two Tosos together, it would seem that Delas Ninelas is a mechitza ma'anis, but which is still in a Gemura. In other words, it's a mechitza ma'anis for the context there.
It's contrasting to in terms of Pesach.
Exactly. Yeah, it's relevant. Now, Shankin here, it's a mechitza in a Gemura, and it could also be either relative or also perhaps context there for yes or may ask there. Well, here, in terms of giving you the third, to be mashal on this, like Shem Gimel Mechitzas, we'll get to in a second, it doesn't suffice. So the question we now just have to ask within Tosos, and Tosos being parents, right? You have a Mechitza and a Gemura, and therefore, they can't, you know, one alone doesn't work. But somehow, you put two Mechitzas and a Gemuras together, then, you know, voila, you have your Shaseya. So the question is, what exactly is the nature of this combination that somehow, you know, one mechitza in a gemur doesn't work, but two do work? What exactly is going on there? So I guess, you know, the simple way of saying it is just, you know, the classic model of, like, you know, a half plus a half equals a whole. But again, that's always difficult to say because unclear exactly why the chisarim in a kavua, you know, gives it a half such that, you know, if you combine two together, all of a sudden, you know, you overcome that chisarim. So I just like to suggest an alternative explanation, again, in terms of why one delas, one mechitza in a gemura doesn't suffice, but somehow if you have two of them, all of a sudden it's fine. So I'd like to suggest that the reason for that is because the gender of shein mechitza required when you have shein gimel mechitzas is different than the gender of shein mechitza required for shein dala mechitzas. And therefore, what Tosas is, it's not a half plus a half equals one, but rather that while the chisaron of Eina Kavua dictates or disqualifies a delas and elas from being having a shein mechitza when you're dealing with three mechitzos, it doesn't disqualify it as functioning as a shein mechitza when you're dealing with shein dal mechitzos. And just to highlight why, what exactly is the difference between shein gimel and shein dal, such that this would be an afkamina? I have to highlight this with the Ravid. Right, the Ravid, which we referenced earlier, where the Ravid, quoted by the Rashman Sali Dalet in the Chira there, where the Rashba's, you know, theory is that, right, generally in a vacuum, three mechitzos suffice, but not when there's Bekiyas Rav. We discussed implications earlier. But a point, which is less discussed, actually, Dani did discuss this, is that the Ravid in the next line says, but if you have four mechitzos, then the factor of Bekiyas Rav is not going to bother us. So what I think that Ravid really highlights is that the function of mechitza for Shem Gimel Mechitzos is different than Shem Dalet Mechitzos. Just to explain, now when you're dealing with Shem Gimel Mechitzos, you're dealing with three Mechitzos. So there, the Mechitza has to function in terms of, let's say, preventing the Bekiyas Rabim. And therefore, for the Ravid, if you have a Bekiyas Rabim coming through this Rosh HaSayachar of Shem Gimel, so that's a Chisaron in the function of those Shem Gimel Mechitzos. But once you're dealing with a Rosh HaSayachar of Shem Dalet Mechitzos, so then the function of the Mechitzos is not to prevent the Bekiyas Rabim. It's rather, like Seth was developing the other day, it's rather to be Makif the Makom. And once the function of Shem Dalet Mechitzos is to be Makif the Makom, so then the fact that you allow for Bekiyas Rabim in the Ravid's case, that's not going to bother us. So now to carry that back to Tosfos, if the Chisaron, like Tosfos in Peretz explicates, if the Chisaron at hand is Eino Kavua, which is saying the fact that the potential of this door to be opened and then people will be able to go by. So that Chisaron relates to a Chisaron in not sufficiently preventing the Bekiyas Rabim. So when you're dealing with Shem Gimel Mechitzos, where that's part of the gather of Shem Mechitza, is that it's able to prevent the Bekiyas Rabim. So then, yeah, a Mechitza in a Gemura, Mechitza in a Kvua, like a Delas Nelas, is going to be disqualified. But once you're dealing with four Mechitzos, and the whole perspective of the function of those Mechitzos changes from being about preventing Bekiyas Rabim to one of the Makif the Makom, so then a Delas Nelas and its Chisaron of being in a Kvua is not going to have any impact, and that's why when you have four Mechitzos, two Tlosos are going to work. And just one other Makura highlights this, my father told me, this was the Rav, according to Hari Kedem, gives this same type of pshat to understand the Shita of the Rabbanon in Asirat, right? The Shitas of the Chachamim, the Chapez, is that Asi basically paskin glossy rabin provided you have shame dalad mechitzos. The big question in the farshim is why is it shame dalad? Let's say you hold that gimel mechitzos suffice for shesayach. So some people say in achrani really that would work for those shitas, but then the rabbi tried to explain that even according to the shitos who hold that gimel mechitzos suffice for shesayach, the vort of shame, the exception of shame dalad mechitzos, is still at play. Because in order for a mechitza not to be subject to the chisaron of Asi Rabim, is only if you're dealing with the mechitza of Shem Dalad. Because once it's about Shem Dalad, then the function is about being Makif Makom. And then in that case, Asi Rabim, because the Bekiyas Rabim is not going to have any impact on the function of these Dalad mechitzas being Makif Makom. But even though the three mechitzas do create a Rishas HaYachid, but because the function of those mechitzas are about preventing the Kiyas Rabim, so then the Chisaron of Asi Rabim is going to be at play.
The four, the Shame Four, are the, you know, two halves, people.
Yeah.
The two plus, whatever, that four
half.
Also accomplishes stopping the Kiyas Rabim, no?
Well, not in the long term. If the whole Chisaron is in a Kavua, is that it might stop them in the present, but there's a Chisaron in the fact that it is in the future, it's not going to stop them. Right? So the question is, why did giving two of them do anything? The point is, but if you say, like, oh, the perspective is no longer about stopping the Kiyas Rabim, it's about being Makav Makom, so that would explain why when you have two, it also gives you four or four, that's why we wouldn't care about that.
But why do I have the right to say, well, I'm switching what I want, and I want to be Makav?
No, it's just that's the function of Shem Dalad. It's not about your kavana.
Don't I still have this like enemy of the Kiyas Rabim coming at me? But I'm like, I'm no longer bothered. I'm trying to do something else.
I don't think that's the perspective of the Kiyas Rabim. I mean, I think it's the objective halachic function of Mechitza. Certain cases that's, you know, undermines. You know, when the function is related to stopping the Kiyas Rabim, it can be undermined, or, you know, there's a big competition with the Kiyas Rabim. But if the function objectively is not that, and we're just saying, according to these makoros, it seems like the differentiating factor is not your kavana, but rather the shame galah versus shame gim.
But that's not like, if I did it, the hadar of a mechitza, hachosanas, is tested by the degree to which it has impact in the aspikias, right? But the hadar of mechitza is based on kavach makom, is just a certain effect that, you know, is immune to. In one case, it's what defines the mechitza is challenged by. It's not exactly a dofin in yitzchokah, but because, you know, there's still differences. But meaning it's substantial makeup composition and the impact that it practically has that gives it the shame mechitza, if that's what it is, because it's not makif, it's not mako, right? But the other one is it's. Because this place is mukaf. So that's more of an effect. It's not each individual mechitza, the role that it plays. You just don't measure it that way. And that's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Then what is it?
But it definitely doesn't depend on the kavana. It's just two different ways of being magi or Rosh Hashanah.
Meaning, if I have this mother mefulish, whatever, it's Rose in the city. So I put a third wall. So that would be fine to stop.
In order for that to be significant to create Rosh HaSayachid, those walls would have to serve the function of impeding the Bekiyas Rabim sufficiently.
Right. So now instead, so I could do that, but here I'm not. I only have a Dallas, new Dallas there. So.
So you haven't accomplished that type.
Right, because the Bekiyas Rabim is still.
With the potential, yeah.
Overpowering this.
Or the potential
for this thing here.
You don't even need to say that the problem of losos nidalos is a problem of the Kiyas Rabim in the times when it's open. You can just say that it's a common denominator. In other words, the, right? But you're not saying that it's not because, for a couple of hours of the day or
it's the capacity for the
Kiyas. That's not the point. The point is, for the same reason, it's just using the. I don't know if I can verbalize that thing you did before about the mitzvah. I'm not very excited. But the equation or the analogy
because, you know, cases of the pinky all the time. But it's the analogy that you're using in the writing. He's not saying that it's directly in front of Rob.
I guess
it's not the losses, you know, the ulos are share something in common with that, but it's not we did the mechitzas rather. He's saying they're inferior mechitzas, and therefore as mechitzas, they don't work at all. They don't work for the third, and they don't work for the fourth. But there is a heck of mokum. You're just trying to show that there are two methods of creating for sayar.
I guess I can't get myself out of the like approaching enemy mahalas that like I have to stop this traffic from making this place which say
up. Right, you don't have to do that in Pasi Biros.
That was Seth Skabur. Seth Skabur is his idea, right? Again, is that it's not just meaning there's this notion of the function of Rosh Hashayachad being that's like Pasi Biros, the perfect example of it. Why is that Rosh Hashayachad? It does a very poor job at preventing the enemy. But from the perspective of being Makom Makom, delineating the corners and creating all this box, it works in that way. So there's another perspective.
I thought that they hold the shame dolls not the enemy.
The corners? That's hard. But yeah.
Are you saying that they're mutually exclusive creating three? Are you saying that three doesn't create a heck of Makom and four doesn't,
or it doesn't need to. I mean, four doesn't need. Or maybe not sufficient for that to be the koveya of the Rishas Hayachid. The reason why the three create Rishas Hayachid is not because it's Makif Makom in the delineating, pure in the pure delineating sense. The fact that you created like a structure which, you know, sufficiently keeps out the rabbit.
Yeah. Or it has a definition of three mechitzas. Maybe just the
digit. There are lots of cases where we assume that they're in makom. I think it's muskom lekulei alam. There's lots of rites. We traditionally assume that's only when there are four.
You end up accomplishing.
It's a chalos, which is a yachid.
Yeah, which is the koveya for being able to, you know, draw a box around this area is because it, you know, the mechitzos have the capacity to keep out. Once you have that, you know, you have a structure of, you know, of three that creates its own form of like a hekif makom, or maybe an alternative type. It depends on the nafkamina community you're talking about, but I think that would be a way of working it out. Okay, so right, Adkan is the, you know, the first issue within, you know, it's yours. Yachid approach in terms of, you know, the minyan delasos, one or two, based on, you know, how many mechitzos are required. The second quick issue is the requirements of minyanos. Right, the pashas are Rav Yochanan and Avula. Right, they say it's delasos minyanos. It needs to specifically be locked. And most rishonim, although we'll get back to the Rambam soon, but most rishonim assume that of course you need the delasos to be locked in order to serve, you know, to be mitakin rishisrab. Now, let's just analyze what is the role of the locking of the ni'ila. Right, what does the ni'ila really contribute such that it's, you know, ma'akid? Right, according to the first approach, that it's all about, you know, breaking, let's say, the function of the Rishus Rabim, so then the Rashi would explain, because the only way you befoel, you know, impede the function of the Rishus Rabim is if it's locked, if it's an open door, and the Pashlis, you know, the function is the exact same as it was without the, you know, Delos or Uriel Linus. Therefore, you need Delos Ninelas in order to sufficiently, you know, impede or disrupt the function of disrupt. But according to this approach, that the direct impact, again, of the Delosos is not about Bimafkil or Shizram. It's about providing necessary, sufficient Mechitzos to get you to create. Which is, yeah, the question is, what exactly is the role of Ninelas? It sounds like Ninelas is a sheer in the type of Mechitza required in the case at hand. Just the two seem like two different approaches in terms of how to understand that. So the first approach is that of Tosfos, who basically says that the sugya here is a liba to the chacham. Right? He basically says that the way he understands the Shach Levitarya is that basically Rabbi Yochanan is a simon to the Rabbanim, who holds of lo asi rabim, And basically, you need the factor of ninilos in order to grant you a shame mechitza. Right? And if once you have a shame mechitza, it lo asi rabbi. But according to this first approach of Tosos, it sounds like the contribution of a ninilos is that that grants the delos a shame mechitza, assuming that a delos, which is only ru'uya lino, but isn't actually lacked, lacks a shame mechitza. Again, not so difficult to understand, because, you know, especially if you're magdir, you know, a shame mechitza based on its ability to prevent the rabbin. So the fact that it's ru'uya lino is not going to serve that purpose, and therefore it lacks a shame mechitza. So again, the first approach, first option, is that the reason why you need ninelas is a shear in shame mechitza. Without ninelas, if it's just ru'uya lino, it's not going to have a shame mechitza. But the second, the way I'm understanding the end of Tosos,
Yeah.
To me, basically, right, the question is how many of we are within the Rabbanon. So what's the Gemara asking from Rav Yochanan, who is a Rabbi Yehuda person? So the Yesh Lomar is the second to last line of Tosos Va'amar. Yesh Lomar to Parach, ki hechi the Rabbi Yehuda b'shem dalad. Just like right, Rabbi Yehuda slash Rabbi Yochanan require ni'ilah to solve their asir rabim issue because they need mechitzas ma'al yasah. Hachanami for the rabbanon beis mechitzas to lo chashivi the rabbanon yitzarach ni'ilah for the rabbanon who say that without the telosis being ninilos you only have two mechitzas. They require shein dalad mechitzos, so therefore it sounds to me, the way I'm understanding it, is that therefore, according to Tosos, the contribution of the locking that it grants the delas a shein mechitza, while if it was just ruya linol, it wouldn't have a shein mechitza. You wouldn't have shein dalad. Now you have with the ni'ila. Yeah.
It's working differently for you.
100%. Yeah.
Or maybe unless it isn't.
What do you mean?
Unless Kufa wants to have two mechitzas with Rabbanon, the problem is something like unless you're around about the mechitzas.
Yeah. He says within the Rabbanon, you only have two mechitzas.
The same type of problem which existed for Yehuda exists for the Chachamim. If they're playing different roles, it's not so obvious as to do it.
No, but I think it's a chiddush, but I'm saying I think that's the way he's. I mean, he's forced, I think, Tosas is forced into it because he thinks, you know, we're passing like the Rabbanon. Well, I'll see. So if he wants to understand the Stam Gemara. I think he's making it. Again, I think it's a chiddush. He's saying, Kihechi, you mean they're one mishma to the other. I think it's a chiddush because they have different conceptions of Asir Rabban. But I think what comes out is that the way that manifests itself for the Rabbanon is that you're trying to create your shame dalad. It sounds like the contribution of the Ni'ila is that that's what grants the Delas a shame mechitza. Assuming, very importantly, that if Delas Ruyolino lacks a shame mechitza. In order to have a shame mechitza, you need to have, be able to stop the rabbin before. This is in contrast to the Magen Mishnah, who says that no, a delas ru'uya lino has a shame mechitza. You know, that's going to become important for the Rambam later, but he thinks everyone agrees to that. Everyone agrees that a delas ru'uya lino has a shame mechitza. So why would you need a ni'ila? What's the contribution of locking it? Because he says, those Rishonim, like the Rif, who require Ni'ila, they must be paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, if Asi Rabim, as long as you do not have Mechitza Ma'al Yisrael. So according to the Magen Mishnah, you already have a Shem Mechitza with Ruya Lino. All the Ni'ila is doing is making it to a Mechitza Ma'al Yisrael. So in contrast to Tosfos, who holds you need Ni'ila to bump it up to a Shem Mechitza, Magen Mishnah thinks that a Delas Ruya Lino already has a shame mechitza, and all the ni'ilah is required is to bump it up to mechitza. I saw a very important machlokes between Magen Mishnah and Tosas about whether a delas ru'uya lino has a shame mechitza. Right? Tosas seems to be more pashut. Before all, it's not doing anything. So I think the Magen Mishnah, I think, is holding, which is a very important chiddush, that even the potential, or the easy potential for this structure to be monea, the b'kiyas ra'am, because you can just easily lock it, that itself, that's the shear of shame mechitza. Like in a way, the parallel opposite of the Tosfos parents factor. Right? Before we were saying that even when it's locked, the potential for it to be unlocked, at least according to Rabbeinu Ephraim version, is mafkia, it's shame mechitza, even currently. So Magen Mishnah is saying the parallel opposite. right? Even though when it's not locked right now, the potential for you to lock it even granted a shei mechitza right now. It's a very important shei mechitza issue in terms of the role of Bekiyas Rabim in terms of its keder. But again, just one other all right, just in terms of this idea of a shein of a delas ruya lino having a shei mechitza based on its potential to be monea Bekiyas Rabim, the Chiddush and the Iri, when he's quoting the Rambam, basically has an interesting line where he says delas ruya lino works because kol haroya labila in bila makedas tov. So again, it sounds like more of a fundamental idea that the very potential for this delas ruya lino to, you know, serve that function, the very potential suffices halachically to grant it a shem mechitza. I'm skipping that part. It's important to analyze each of these shittos within all the no, just to fill everyone in. That's a very important part of the second.
It's not just the ability to know those, it's that you that's
exactly, let's figure out what the combination is. But basically just to fill everyone in, there's a big machlokas achronim in terms of whether let's say the delas, we've been talking about a delas. Nellis, not a nellis. The question is, are we talking about a delas which has its source of Pesach or not? It's a big machlokas achronim. Some try to be metaik and rishonim, doesn't seem like it's mukhruch and any rishonim. So it's important to analyze both of these shitos, ruya lino, either being a mechitza or not a mechitza, within both approaches. Which is, again, I don't have time to deal with that, but it's a very important issue in terms of, you know, playing out the implications of whether delas ruya lino is a mechitza or not, depending on whether there's also a source of that's a very good point. Oh. So the third issue I like to deal with within the mechitza approach is the issue of laila versus yom. Again, we touched upon it last time. And the big question in the sugya is, right, presumably, for sure, it's clear, Yochanan's memo, is that the ni'ila b'layla, we're talking about ni'ila b'layla. So the question is, does that ni'ila b'layla, that tikkun at night, does that carry over to the day or not? So we're going to see two thought in the sugya. So the shita's yachid in the sugya is that yish omrim in the me'iri, it's identified as Rabbi Ephraim in the base of Chira. Right, so this Shitas Yachid in the Meiri who says, if it's only locked at night, the tikkun is limited to the nighttime. But during the day, the tikkun would not carry over, and it would be a Rishus Rabim during the day. So again, that doesn't seem to be the Pashas of the Gemara at all. The simple reading of the Gemara is that what is needed to be Matake in a Rishus Rabim? Oh, Ne'ilah B'layla. In the Ikra Chasr Menas Sefer, if that the very important qualification there is if you only do it at night, it only works at night, again, it's definitely not the Pasha of the Gemara. But so just in terms of, you know, aligning with the Gemara, it doesn't seems pretty difficult. But just in terms of the Nisvara, just to analyze the Shita. So on the one hand, it seems to be pretty mistaber, Nisvara, right? But if you, especially when you're dealing with, from a Mechitza standpoint, basically, when you have Mechitza, this is Rishus Yachid, and you have mechitzas at night, right? We're all in the approach that you actually need ni'ila. So whether that's for, you know, to give it a shei mechitza or to give it a shei mechitza ma'al yasa, either way, ni'ila is ma'akid. So if it's ma'akid, so then how can the tikkun apply to the day when, you know, you're lacking a very necessary function? So misvara, again, that, while it doesn't work out well with the pashas, the gemara, it does seem to make a lot of sense. Again, why would you think about extending the tikkun at night over to the day when the mechitzos are in present? But just to point out, even the svara, the mechudish assumption of this approach, is that basically the status of rishus will fluctuate. Night, every day and every night, or any time you open and shut the door, which again is a chiddush, because I think the normative approach to this sugya is that when you're dealing with a rishus, it's a long-term status. It's a set status, barring any unforeseen, you know, changes. So therefore, the chiddush of this approach is that, yeah, when we're dealing with the status of rishus, it's very temporary, very short-term, and can change, even if there's a built-in factor, which can easily change the parameters on hand, that will impact, you know, the flux, fluctuation.
Now that we're going to a prime, so it's not really about creating mechitzos, it's about being maftir, which is rab. So...
yeah, that was discussed earlier.
Yeah, so in terms of the first point, that it makes sense that whatever is nil at night, that it should only impact the night when day should only impact the day. So it's a little different because it's not here, which is around. So we saw the Rashba, that depends on how you define
how much
is around.
So it's a good point. Good point. So the normative approach in the sugya, And again, in the Erie, he says this explicitly when he rejects that day. And again, it seems to be the assumption of, I think, all the Mepharshim don't say otherwise, based on the Tosha of the Gemara, is that, the tikkun at night is going to carry over to the day. So the big question we have to try to analyze, but the answer is, why would that be the case? There's a bishlama, according to the first approach of Afkas, which is a rabbin, that's easy, as the Rashba said. As long as you disrupt the function of Rishis Rabin at any point, that's going to suffice with Mafkir Hashem Rishis Rabin, because as the Rashba says, you need the function of Rishis Rabin Chol Shah. But according to this, which is the Yitziras, which is the Achad approach, that you need the Dlasos, Ne'ulos, Ninilos, to grant you the requisite Minyan Mechitzos, so if you're missing that during the day, why in the world would you still have the Tikkun? So it's possible to suggest, what we've been discussing so far, is that the assumption of this normative shita is that when you're dealing with the status of Rishus, it's a constant, I want to say permanent, but a long-term status. And when we're looking to be magdir, so we have a case for the Delos, Nelos at night, which is open during the day. We want to grant this makom a single status, bein biyom, bein balayla, based on the assumption that the status of Rishus is not a short-term temporary status, but rather one that should be permanent, notwithstanding major unforeseen changes which could take place. So once you have that assumption that the status of the status of Rishus is more of a long-term status, and therefore going into this equation, you're basically saying, oh, I have to give this makom one status. So now you have to analyze it as follows. On the one hand, at night, it's a Rishus Yachid. The other hand, during the day, just based on characteristics, at night, when it's Nidolos, it's Rishus Yachid. During the day, it's Rishus Rab. So now you have a competition between Rishus Yachid and Rishus Rab in terms of how are we going to, what is the single geder, what's the single Rishus status you're going to give this makom, bein biyom, bein b'leil. And once we take that approach, now we can just suggest two ideas in terms of why is it that we would favor Rishus Yachad over Rishus Rabim, assuming that we have to grant this Malkom one single status. So one suggestion is to relate it to what we discussed before. Remember, this is the Yitziras Rishus Yachad approach. As we pointed out before, holds. And when you have a clash, it's in the Plasha case, when you have a clash between Rishus Yachad and Rishus Rabim, that the Rishus Yachad is going to overcome the Rishus Rabim. Either because Rishus Yachid is the most basic unit, or because it's like this juggernaut idea. But either way, when there's the competition between Rishus Yachid and Rishus Rabim, this approach thinks the Rishus Yachid takes precedence. So it's possible to extend that svara here too. It's a different type of clash. It's not a clash of both parameters applying in the same malkum at the same time. Here we have a different type of clash where you have the parameters applying at night for Rishus Yachid, and the parameters of Rishus Rabim applying during the day. And this is a different type of clash, but it's a clash because we need to give this makom one single status. So that we're just like this approach favored Rishus Yachad over Rishus Rabin, a direct clash, and also makom at the same time, perhaps it's an extension of that idea to say that for the same reason, either because of the more basic or because of the juggernaut idea, that would also explain why the Rishus Yachad would take precedence over the Rishus Rabin to define this makom as either as totally Rishus Yachad at all times. Just one last idea, and we'll take questions. I think the other way of saying it is not just, oh, Rishus Yachid, beats out Rishus Rabim, but rather that at first glance it seems like it's an even fight, right? At night, you have Rishus Yachid. During the day, it's Rishus Rabim. But what we're missing is that even during the day, you have the Delosos, which were Uyos Leno. So it could be what tilts, the balance in favor of Rishus Yachid, because Rishus Yachid is at night. But even during the day, when the foal has status of Rishus Rabim, the potential of Ru'uya Linol to easily transform even the Rishus Rabim into Rishus Yachid basically dictates that that's why we should grant this Malkum the status of Rishus Yachid at all times.
Okay. Isn't it easier to say it makes him a pizza like a lefty?
It makes?
Like a lefty makes him a pizza like a lefty, you see that in the right, so two walls on the left.
But this is meaning where these shitos hold are without ninilos,
yeah.
It's not a shem mechitza.
Right. Delos and Nelos is a type of mechitza all times.
But if it's but during the day.
Mechitza.
But it's open.
Right. doesn't matter that area. No, but Malchi also doesn't physically close off the area.
So we're within the, I mean, we're within the approach, which thinks that that doesn't suffice. The Ruya Linol doesn't suffice for Shem Mechitza. You know,
I'm saying Dallas and Dallas Valela, and you open it early in the morning, that area has a hot, it shocks the Mechitza across the doorway.
Yeah, but
the
at night?
No, it, well, that
why?
Area considered to have Mechitza.
I'm just trying to explain
it's
why.
Like
I mean, but I'm saying in areas where Shasa Yachid, when it's surrounded by the necessary Mechitzos,
yeah,
if you think that, if you think that Ne'ila is Ma'akev, the Mechitza.
Yeah. No, so it's not Ne'ila. Then Elas Balayla is Ma'akev. This
I'm saying, but
thing
the Svara
is creating a Mechitza across that opening. It's like a Lucky.
I think Weiss's first approach is other than Weiss's second approach, you know? I think that's what happened. Weiss's second approach is to say that a Dallas Hanu, an Elas Balayla, means that even a Dallas Hanu really now Bayom has a din of a Dallas Hanu, an Elas Balayla at all times, and that is a Shem Mechitza, which is equivalent to Lachi. You're saying you have to.
You're just saying it knocks in favor of Shizyatin. It's just the opposite.
No. That was the first approach. The second approach could. The way you said in the second approach could and could.
I think that I'm saying is that the factor of Ruya Linol is what's mitzarev Rishus Hayachid, even to the Rishus, even during the day. Not that it's befoal Rishus Hayachid during not actually. Because you can easily.
Yeah.
I'm saying that we're within the approach to think that Ruya Linol is not a mechitza. So during the day, you lack.
I'm saying Ruya Linol, if it never gets open, that's not a mechitza. But if you have it at night, anyway, if every night it's closed anyway, then the Ruya Linol Bayom is also a mechitza.
You could say that. That's an alternative.
Then it would be a mechitza, too.
I know what you're saying, David.
That would make it a mechitza. But if you only have Ruya Linol.
Right, you mean that's a sheer.
And then you say, that's something, hypothetical, abstract, possibility. But since it is closed on a regular basis, so that we see it. We see the Ruyos different.
Yeah, that could. I was saying a little different.
Are you saying it again?
So I was saying is that, originally the way we're presenting is the question is you have a clash. Night is Rishus Yachid versus Rishus Rishus. The first part is that in a Chanami, 50-50, but Rishus Yachid over
question of which one.
Yeah. The second approach is to say that the potential to so easily turn during the day into a Rishus Yachid as well, is that it's not an even clash. Even though, in Chanami, for Fowl, the Rishus Yachid versus Rishus Rabin, during the day, it actually is a Rishus Yachid.
But the Kosov HaShlishi, Makri Abinan, is that it's wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but not
that doesn't give it a Shem Mechitza?
Not that it's a Shem Mechitza. And that might be like the results. The two ways to say, isn't that the Rabbi gives it a Shem Mechitza? Or because now we favor the night, the status at nighttime.
Because it's got an added support.
Exactly. And therefore, to be Kovei of the single thing.
But
would
you
more
say
similar
that,
to the first
if I asked you like abstractly, so during the day we're allowed to walk in here and then treat it as Rosh Hashanah even though it's in the same wall?
That's like the first. But I'm saying,
like in the
trivia
game, if they said, "Give me a circumstance where you
like my first approach,
no third wall, and you could still say
yeah." Because like my first approach is my first approach also thinks that it's the same idea. During the day, right? The phone.
No, I thought your first approach is saying you could look at this. This is like a brisker ben hashmashos. In other words, it's got a mechitza and it's missing a mechitza at the same time. It's got a from Rosh Hashanah Yachid point of view, it has a mechitza.
From a point of view,
it doesn't have a mechitza. And now the question is, when you have a clash between Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah Rabim, what's the default or what's the?
What's going to convey the status of the Rosh Hashanah?
Right. But would you say
you don't have to say that now during the day it isn't pizza?
Oh.
I said no.
Okay.
I hear the alternative.
You're saying
I don't think you have to say that.
So in both cases, you're actually saying something very mechudash that there's no mechitza, but since it's a mechitza at night and
it's one
and whatever, so it's a chalos for sure. See, without mechitza,
yeah.
I hear it.
Yeah,
I think
the same
it's
both.
Less mechudash to say the same idea.
Same
idea. Both one
both,
and
exactly,
two,
exactly.
But as shiur and the mechitza.
Yeah, could be. 100%.
I think cars are going to be one way of applying these ideas.
Cars?
Parked cars. Doors open? Parked cars that create...
I think it's not to explain what you mean.
Cars. Different sides. Parked meaning that there you have something which
you go both ways on, no?
I mean, unlike the Hamos or Adam, whatever you're saying.
Adam is a holic, but you know, like cars, you could. I'm not sure where I'm going.
They're only
like,
to be looped.
You know, I guess in the Heights, you know, they're only do twice a week or something like that. But you know, like, I don't know. I think I would be.
I'm open to saying these two different versions within Shir and the Shem Fritzel. I was thinking of the listeners, but I'm open to.
I want to totally
again, if you wanted to take it further on the second one, sorry, but doesn't mean that to say that the not only that the Uyos Lino, in other words, give a little edge to the knife, but maybe the opposite. In other words, it's always a little Uyos Lino, just if it's not really closed, then you know then the Uyos Lino doesn't register. But if it closed, then the question is like how substantial, and then you get into like the practical questions like you know blossoms, you know that they.
Yeah.
You know, do once a year or
yeah.
things
I guess
like that.
Really yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes.
This was all just with
a new approach.
Yeah. Well, before that, even in Mahalach 2 of this approach you're saying, isn't it equally
2-2 or?
Yeah. Now we're saying 1A or 1B now.
Yeah. It's probably 1-1-1B or even or 2-2. Either way,
it was 1A and B and 2A.
Yeah.
But 2 doesn't have an A, does it?
Yeah.
Tools,
yeah. The question,
so
the difference between 1 and
2B or 1B, either one, it's equally.
But the real and all.
Yeah, it's equally right on the all.
Oh.
So how do you know which way to swing? If,
yeah.
Unless
so,
it's
yeah.
like winter, summer. In the summer, it's going to be mostly.
Yeah, so that's a good question. Yeah. That's
okay.
So, basically, I think
yeah.
the question is just like during the day,
right.
it's Ruya Lino, so too at night, it's Ruya to be Oma. How about the Tosfos and Parrot factor?
Yeah.
Oh.
Can I answer that question?
I think it's an important idea.
Sure. But you don't let me come back to my other question.
Yeah, because no, this is important. I was just thinking about this right before the Gemara and I had it written down. So, I think it's important because we're dealing. Where, I mean, you're basically saying, "Oh, those are my parents."
And so implicitly, he's asking you, "So, don't you need your A for your B?"
Or just this
division. Okay. Either way. So
or,
I think.
Or
I mean, don't you still need to say something about default for sure? Yes.
But I don't.
That's what you're asking, kind of, really, right?
Yes.
Well, no, because I don't want to say it myself.
Okay, either way. Yeah. Just, I think, it's a very good question. I'm sure you have another good question also. Ari asked this on me at the time in Seder. I think the answer is as follows, is that, remember, that factor of Tosfos and Parrot had to be dealt with in order to get out of the problem of Mechitza Shena Gemura, namely, let's say within Tosfos. Remember, he solved that problem in a Kavua, in a Gemura, by getting you four Mechitzos. And the way we explained it before is that once you provide two Dlossos, so the Nech Chisaron is not on the board anymore. Because once you're focusing on Shein Dal Mechitzos, which is about Hekiv, and not about Bekiyas Rabim, so that factor is now neutralized. So this obviously. You have to deal with that question first. So either the Rishonim, like the Ritva, who ignore that factor and say, no, Delos and Elas is Mechitza Gemura, we don't care about the potential, so obviously they're not going to care about it here either. But even those people, like Tosfos, who care about it, they had to get out of that problem by saying, therefore you need two. And once you create the Shem Dalad Mechitzos, now that Chisaron, the Inner Kavua, is no longer on the board because you have your perfect Hekif Makom.
But isn't this question of Uyos and Lima, that's going to be a question whether you hold that you need two or one, right?
That's any monoshach. If you hold two...
So you're saying it's totally one or the
other? No, I'm saying because if you hold of one, presumably you just reject the whole chisara to begin with. Like the Ritzvah. The Ritzvah Chavez says, I hold...
It's a regular mechitzah?
Exactly. It doesn't care about that future. Then the people who care about it are going to have to neutralize that chisara.
The people care about it, and therefore they have the two...
Once you solve that.
So then they'll all say it, at least attack.
Exactly. So that's, I was, yeah, that's how I wanted to answer that, because I thought about that right before the Chabura. So, yeah.
I thought, if you have two walls, two parallel walls, and a lechi at the end of one of them,
two parallel walls,
and a lechi at the end, that space is always open, and also always has a mechitza of the raisa going across it, maybe a whole bunch of mechitza. So, Tzuris Pesach looks very, very open. And nonetheless, that is a din, that there's a wall there. Halachic man, can't even see out the moat.
First of all, Sfas Bezav is not necessarily a wall. That's the chabur. Like if you see,
any
like,
hole is a machitza.
Okay.
But, so then we're aware of this concept that something we call machitza, even though right through it.
You're
plus the man, he can't even see its bricks over there.
You're very into the perspective of the person, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Alechi is even a step removed because it's not looking like a door. It's a, you put a little peg over there.
It's mechitza, so who cares?
Right. So, Adelis and Elis Valela is a mechitza because it's in Elis Valela. And it just makes a mechitza there all the time. It's always a mechitza.
I'm saying, according to, aren't you in essence asking, what's the whole sugya of Dlosas Ninolos? Why can't you just have a lechi?
No. That's what you're on about lechi.
Okay.
It's just a muscle.
But what's,
just like we know there's such a thing. This mahal, this question is coming from, if it's open, if the door is open during the day, how could it be a mechitza?
You know, but it's not just that. But according to those shitos who say that the fact of Ninolos is ma'akev, the mechitza.
No, but it's not.
Either you don't have a shem mechitza, or you don't have a mechitza ma'al yisod.
No, it's not. It doesn't have to be closed to be mechitza. It has to be in alif balayla to be mechitza 24/7.
But don't you have to come onto one of the stars we were saying? Not because Ruya Lino on its own is.
Yes.
But then why do you need ni'ila balayla?
That's what makes a mechitza.
I know, but he's trying to say something different. What's the difference?
Okay, so
what was that? Ariel. What's the difference between case A, where you just have a ruya lino, and case B, where at night it's locked, but during the day it's ruya lino? Why is the ruya lino in case B? If the koveya for ruya lino during the day, in scenario B, is only because it's ruya lino, who cares about the nila balayla? Unless you connect them.
It doesn't do with winning the default. you just make a mechitza.
But no, if Ruya Lino can't make a mechitza on its own, you admit that, without Ni'ila Balayla. So then, why does adding Ni'ila Balayla into the equation change anything if, at least according to your explanation, doesn't? That's not the factor which makes Ruya Lino during the day a mechitza. And according to you, you're basically saying there's a svara. Ruya Lino is a shem mechitza.
No, it's not a svara.
So you're just saying Gzeiras HaKasav?
Yes.
So you're just answering the question.
What?
Yeah, where did I come from?
The Gemara says,
I'm saying, we're trying to explain.
Until you have this thing, and you have your children calling it a mechitza, why do you have to go any further than just saying,
and why would you? Who says, how can you just say there's a halakha mishmi Sinai? I'm saying, where do you get that? Rav Yochanan says this din, the Ila Balayla. I'm saying, you didn't explain that. And you have a Gzeiras HaKasav up your sleeve.
There's a Gemara that says this thing stops us Yerav. You could say Rashba, right? That it just stops the traffic. And therefore, I am first Mahal. Second Mahal, Hashem would say, it's a Mechitza. Do you need to say anything more than...
But why? It's only Mechitza because it's Ni'ila Balayla. There's only Mechitza because it's Ni'ila Balayla.
So what? During the day, it's still Min Elis Balayla.
It's Nelis Balayla?
Yes. During the day,
it's Nelis Balayla. He's trying to say not what we're saying before.
It's not Nelis now, but it's a Delis and Nelis Balayla, even during the day.
Okay. I'm not understanding,
it's like
but...
Even during the day, it's dark outside at night.
Can we discuss later? I don't want to...
Okay.
I'm not understanding, so I just want to... Last part of the Chabura is the Shitas Rambam. So as this famous stira in the Rambam, in terms of the question of whether you need Ruya Lino, or whether Ruya Lino suffices, or whether you need Ninolos Dafka. This is a big, big stira in the Rambam. So the Rambam in two places, see, Hilchos Shabbos, Yudalet Aleph, and Hilchos Erevin, Aleph, there, we'll see, read it in just a moment, the Rambam says you actually need it to be Ninolos Balay. We're going to see also, but in Yud Shabbos, Yud Zayin Yud, the Rambam says that Ruyos Lino suffices. Just to read inside, and the big question is, which one is it? Source number 5 is Rambam in Yudal Aleph. This is the context where the Rambam is discussing the Gedarim of the various Rishiyos. So the Ezer Rishus HaYachid, what is the Gedar Rishus HaYachid? So one of the examples is as follows. Chimakom Shu Mukav Arba Machitzas, you have 4 Machitzas, Govan Osaro, Beneim Arba Arba. But yes, Rav Ken, you have the correct dimensions. Afilu yishbo kama milim muhukath adira. Here's a very wide As long as hookah ledira, it's fine. What's his example? Go medina hamukefes choma shedilas alseha ninalos balayla. Only in such a case is kulan mishas yachad gemurah. Fine. So there it's clear. Yudalid aleph that the only way that losses are going to serve their tikkun is if ninalos balayla. Similarly, six is erev and aleph aleph. This is an introduction of erev chaseros explaining why mitaraisa all these cases in aleph aleph is a heter tiltil until the isur drabanan of erev chaseros. The source number six, basically chatzar sheish v'shchinim harbe b'chulei b'chulei, going down to the second to last line, the latter part is v'chein adin b'medina, shi'im kevas choma gavoa asara tzvachim sheish l'tzlasas ninolos b'layla, shkulei b'shus ha'yachidi, zeo din tar. Again, describing that the tikkun of tzlasas is only when they're ninolos. Fine, so both yidala aleph and erev and aleph aleph clearly need ninolos b'layla. The source number seven, right in the Shabbos yudzayin yud, here, the Rambam says, oh, you don't need ninolos b'layla. Ruyolino suffices. Right? Shnei ksalim v'shuz ha'rabim v'am over in Beinim. Two walls, and the flow of traffic, flow of the Rambam goes between the walls. Kitzad machshir b'nehem. How are you machshir this makom? Also, d'losos mikan v'd'losos mikan. Basically, set up d'losos. V'achrach yaseh b'nehem v'shuz ha'yachim. And afterwards, we'll make it to v'shuz ha'yachim. But what type of d'losos do you need? All you need is ruya lino. You don't need ne'ilah b'fal. Therefore, hayim shukos ba'afer, if they're stuck in the mud, mifana olson, right, just clear mataklin lino. Well, tzuras ha'pasach olachi v'kora, enam arlan b'hekshir v'shis rabin, t'losa ruyos lino required work, but not anything less, such as tzuras ha'pasach olachi and kora. So the big kasha is pretty obvious. Big stira in the Rambam. So you want to see there are two camps in the Mefarshim in terms of how to understand this Rambam. The first camp is to say the Rambam's psak is always consistent. And obviously, in order to say this, when you have such a glaring theory, you end up having to Waldafka, one of the Rambams. And this is said in two different ways to say it. But the Rashba, as quoted by the Kesef Mishnah on Yud Zayin Yud, he says the Rambam always requires Zolosos Ninolos, as seen by Yudalad Aleph and Erevin Aleph Aleph. Oh, Yud Zayin Yud clearly says that Ruyos Lino suffices. Oh, says the Rashba, Yud Zayin Yud is not dealing with the Rishus Rabim, it's only Mavim Mefulash, and that's why in a Ruyos Lino suffices. So the problem with this explanation is that if you look carefully at Yud Zayin Yud, he mentions Rishus Rabim a number of times. Obviously very dachuk to assume when he says Rishus Rabim is really referring to Mavim Mefulash. That's number one. Number two is that the Rambam, earlier in the parak, Yud Zayin Gimel, explicitly paskin that a Mavim Mefulash suffices, like the Tanakama, with Tzuras HaPesach and Lechi HaKorah. In fact, number three is that there's no Shita who holds that a Mavim Mefulash requires two Tlosos. There's a range of three Tanayim. Either you need two Tlosos, Nidolos, Beis Shammai, or you need one Delos, Ruya Lino, Lamaskana, according to Beis Hillel, or Tzuras HaPesach. Again, so this version of two Tlosos, Nidolos is not according to any of the Shitas. So again, that's the Rashba's version. Again, Rambam always needs Tlosos Ninolos, but again, very difficult in the root of Yud Zayin Yud. Oh. The other way to say the Rambam is always consistent is the opposite direction. That's the Magen Mishnah. Magen Mishnah, Yud Zayin Yud says the Rambam always holds that Ruyos Lino suffice. That's clear in Yud Zayin Yud. But what do you do with the other Rambam? He only quotes Erev and Aleph Aleph. He says, Lav Dafka. That's Shlovim Koma. Sorry. The context there is Erev Chatzeros. He's mentioning, you know, Rishut together, Rishus Yachid, Shas Agav, so Lav Dafkan. Look at the Ikar Makomo, Yud Zayin Yud. The Ruyos Lino suffice, as we pointed out before. Magen Mishnah L'Shitasa holds that Ruya Lino alone has a shame, Machitza. The problem with this pshat is that while he can Lav Dafka Erev and Aleph Aleph by saying that's really a different context, Yudalad Aleph is where the Rambam is introducing the Gedarim of the various Rishuyos. It's much harder to say that when Rambam is defining Rishus HaYachid and Yudal Aleph, that, oh yeah, really Lav Dafka, look at Yud Zayin Yud. So again, that's a difficulty of the Magen Mishnah. So that brings us to the second camp, which is to say, there's a steer on the Rambam because the Rambam's psak regarding Ruyos Linol or Ninolos Mamish depends on the situation. And you can say this in two different ways. The first basis of Chiluk is if you say that the basis of the distinction is the type of Rishus HaRabim being discussed. And this seems to be the approach of the day on the Meiri. If you look at Surah number 8, basically the second day on the Meiri is that he explains this theory in the Rambam by saying, oh, There's no stira because the Rambam only requires telosos ninilos in the context of Medina, and it happens to be in both Erev and Aleph Aleph, and Yudal Yud, it's in the context of the Rishus Rabbim of Medina. Well, Yudzayin Yud, where it's a, what do you call a Shar Rishus Rabbim, a typical Rishus Rabbim. So that is where it, you know, Ruyus Linol suffices. We look at source number 8, it's important to Lashon. Elevadim Rishus Rabbim Gemura Amrina de Ruyus Linol Sagi. The Rambam really holds by a classical Rishus Rabbim, you know, Ruyus Linol suffices. Velakalak Shuye Le Mehad Yushalayim. And don't ask me from Yushalayim, can add with the Rambam himself, Paskins, that Ninolos are required. The Shema Ihu Mashvi Chiluk bin Yushalayim Vishara Rishus Rabbim. The Chiluk between Yushalayim and Shara Rishus Rabbim. What's the basis of the distinction? Because Medina Shiny Ubai Hakshay Gadol. Because Medina is different. So you have the Chiluk of all Rishus Rabbim Acher, that Svir Leil Rambam de Beruyos Linal Sot. So there, this day in the Meiri is trying to explain the Rambam, is that the Stira can be resolved by this distinguishing between the type of Rishus Rabbim. Medina versus Shar Rishus Rabbim. The question is, what exactly is that chiluk? What's the difference between Medina and Shar Rishus Rabbim? So one way to understand this chiluk, and this is the suggestion of the Shoal and the Avni Nezer in Reish Tamach Zayin, and he's not explaining Rambam, he's not explaining the Meiri, but it fits into this as well, is to say that Medina, the terms Medina versus Shar Rishus Rabbim, is the difference between a stracha and a plaucha. Basically, the Rambam in Yud Zayin Yud is dealing with a stracha. And that actually is pretty clear. It seems pretty clear. You've done Shnei Ksalim, and there's traffic, you know, going through them. It sounds like the function of a stracha. So in the context of a stracha, that's where the Rambam says the Shoal and the Avni Nezer. In the context of a stracha, that's where Ruyos Linol suffices. Eden Chiddush. But when it comes to the function of a Rishus Rabbim, you don't need to befoel disrupt the function. Is the factor of the Tanai of Dom Ladidla Midbar establishes that even the fact that you have set up an ability to easily disrupt the Rishus Rabbim, namely, if Ruyos Lino, you can easily, you know, disrupt the function of Rishus Rabbim, that dictates, that's Mafkiya, the Shem Rishus Rabbim. And therefore, just the potential, the easy potential alone, basically is Mafkiya, the Rishus Rabbim. Asha Inkin says that the Shoal and Avni Nezer, the cases of Medina and Yudal and Aleph, and Aleph, Aleph, and Erevin. Those are cases of Medina. He says, Mistama in a Medina is a Placha. So when the Rambam says you need Delosos Nidolos, that's to account for the Placha. But because, like we discussed before, Allah Rashba, where, you know, the Delosos are not going to impact the function of the Placha. So therefore you have to go another route, the route of Mechitzos. And though for Mechitzos, you need them to be Nidolos in order for the Delosos to have a Shein Mechitzos. So again, one way to explain this Meiri is along the lines of the Stracha Placha. Again, the difficulty being, and all you, Meiri and the Rambam both don't say either of those terms, the Stracha and Placha. Again, the Rambam doesn't generally use the term, doesn't utilize the term Placha, so maybe it's less of a deal. But again, Medina, to say that Medina is a synonym for Placha, and that's the Iker Chiluk, again, it's a little difficult. So the other way to say, just to take the Meiri Kipshuto, again, which is a big Chiddush, is to say, no, there's a difference between Medina and Shara Rosh Hashanah. And again, it's to say that there's a different type of Shein Mechitza required for these different types of Rishus Rabbim. That the Medina variety of Rishus Rabbim requires, of course, a Hechsher Gadol of a Glossos Nelos, needs to be locked. But the Shein Mechitza required for a lesser form of Rishus Rabbim, the Stam Rishus Rabbim, their Ruyos Linol suffices. So again, the major two major assumptions here. Assumption number one is that there's a different Geder of Shein Mechitza for different types of Rishus Rabbim, which is the big Chiddush. Again, we've seen other Chilukim between different Rishus Rabbim, but not necessarily all those differences play out in terms of the Shein, the Geder of the Shein Mechitza. And the second Chiluk is that there is a difference in Halacha between the Rishus Rabbim of Medina and the Stam Rishus Rabbim. Again, as my follower pointed out, the Lashonos of the Meiri, you know, allow you to say that the difference is more quantitative. It's just a more of an intensified, you know, Rishus Rabbim. You don't have to say it's like a completely different category, like a Sracha Placha type of chiluk. But even if you say it's like a quantitative distinction, again, it's still a big Chiddush, but that quantitative distinction of it being, you know, a bigger Rishus Rabbim somehow carries over into requiring a different type of Shein Mechitza. Again, I think something along those lines is the basic pshat in the Meiri, Again, it doesn't sound like he's saying Sracha Plach. It sounds like it's really Medina versus Shah versus Rabbim. But again, the implications are very important, number one, in terms of different Shemachitza for different types of Rosh Hashanah, and that there is, that Medina and Stam Rosh Hashanah are different types of Rosh Hashanah. This brings us to the end, and just suggest one, an alternative. It's a different way of explaining the Stira and the Rambam, by saying the Rambam is Meduk in all the places, and there's a different Psak. Not, the difference is not based on different types of Rosh Hashanah, like the Meiri suggests, but rather the difference between the different Rambams is about the intended function of the tikkun. Namely, just like we've been developing throughout the entire Chaburah, these different approaches, there's a way of being attacking through by being mafgia, Rosh Hashanah, and there's a second way of being attacking by creating Rosh Hashanah. So it could be that if you look very closely at these Rambams, it seems like that's the distinction at play. And what comes out is that when the Rambam requires Tzlosos Ninilos, in Yidalat Aleph, in Erev and Aleph Aleph, then the Rambam is meduyuk that he's specifically in those contexts where he's focusing on creating Rosh Hashanah. If you look back at source number 5 and 6, again, Yudalat Aleph, that's the easy Rosh Hashanah. It's all about what's the gedder of Rosh Hashanah, and what are the types of machitzos required to create that Rosh Hashanah. And similarly, and on Erev and Aleph Aleph, that's the context of the Hakdama to Erev HaChatzir. It's all about the different types of Rosh Hashanah. So when it comes to creating, supplying your machitzos, there the Rambam holds that you only have a Shem Mechitza when the Deles is Ninalis. But Yud Zayin Yud, where the, I'd like to suggest, the Rambam thinks that Tzlosos Haruyos Linol suffice because it's serving a different function. It's not about creating a Rosh Hashanah, but rather about being Mafkia, the Rosh Hashanah. If you look very closely, Yud Zayin Yud, in source number 7, I think it's very meduic, the focus there is not about creating Rosh Hashanah, but rather about being Machshir, the Rosh Hashanah. Starts off, read it again. Shnei Kselem Rosh Hashanah Va'am Ovrim Beinayim. Are we dealing with the, you know, Rosh Hashanah who's in between these two walls? Ketzed Machshir Beinayim. Again, the Lashon is not how do we make a Rosh Hashanah here. How are you Machshir this Mokom, this Rosh Hashanah? Also, Tzlosses Mikan, Tzlosses Mikan. Key line. Va'achar, sorry, Mikan, Mikan. The Tikkun is to set up these Tzlosses of Ruyos Lino. Then he says, by the way, Va'achar Kach, Yaseh Beinayim Rosh Hashanah. If you want to go to stage 2, I'm saying, to take it from a carmelist, right? The Tzlosos Haruyos Lino only knocked it down from Rosh Hashanah to a carmelist. Allah, like the Shoal and the Athenizer had idea that Haruyos Lino itself suffices v'mafkia the Rosh Hashanah because the mere potential to disrupt the flow, the function of Rosh Hashanah suffices to v'mafkia the Rosh Hashanah. So the Haruyos Lino sufficed to be mafkiya, the Shem Rosh Hashanah, and therefore the Rambam Lishit also has to say, but if you want to finish the job and then turn it into a Rosh Hashanah, you still need another tikkun. I'm suggesting, and it could be that for that tikkun, you might need Tzlosos Nenelos. And as Ve'ein Tzarech Linol, Tzlosos Belay Level, Tzarech Shiburiyos Linol, according to my suggestion, he's saying, in terms of the requirement, the gedder of the tikkun at hand of being machshir Rosh Hashanah, for that tikkun at hand of being machshir Rosh Hashanah, all you need is Ruyos Lino. Such and at the end of Al Tzuras Pesach, Olechi V'Korah Inam Oilim Behechshir Rosh Hashanah. Again, the focus Mitchila Atzof is all about being machshir Rosh Hashanah. Again, I think added to that, the fact that the Rambam says, and if you want to accomplish something else, if you want to take the next stage of also making it to Rosh Hashanah, you're going to need another tikkun. So again, I think based on that, and in contrast to the clear context in Yudalat Aleph, where it's all about Rosh Hashanah, I thought that was a potential, you know, alternative to resolve the stira in the Rambam by saying the stira is based on what is the function of the tikkun at hand. Before you do that other, your Acher. Exactly.
You're saying
you have
to actually have the
plot. Oh, so this is what I was discussing with Ariel, is that I thought that he's basically saying, oh, and I ain't la'el, you dalet aleph, you need to lock it. But Ariel suggested that it could be, within this approach, you could still say that once the delosses were used linol, knock it down to a carmelis, so it could be that you'd be open to other tikkunim such as Tzuras HaPesach and Lechi as well. Exactly. For sure, okay. Everyone agrees you need Acher Ach Yase B'nei Rosh Hashanah. It's going to need another tikkun, which implies.
And then that line of Eno Tzav Menolah Glossos really should come before the Acher Ach Yase B'nei Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, I mean, according to me, it's going back and saying the delosos that I'm talking about, being mocked to the delosos.
In order to make it caramelized, you're not sure it's a rabbin, so then you do delosos haruyas, so you do not to the model, that makes it caramelized basica.
Yeah, yeah, that's the, yeah. And if I hear from the Pinot Gallery, the Yeyase versus Yase. Yeah, so we had a whole discussion about this. So I thought it was Yase over Yeyase. I was coming from the fact that the Va'acharkach.
But Oseh Losos.
I'm not sure.
He's speaking in present and then switches to future.
Because that, well, the focus of this halacha is on being Mashal Shrub. And by the way, you're going to have to also be attacking the Rishon Yachid. I'm just explaining. And also the Va'acharkach, meaning if it's really just a result, then it shouldn't be Va'acharkach Yeyaseh. It would be just right away. So to me, what?
There's definitely something funny about those words.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to take that funniness and think that it means Yasa, that afterwards you need to take a distinct act. If it was just Yasa as this is the result, why is the Ba'achar Kach? Oh. It's not Rishis Rab. It's a karma. It's a karma.
It's a
karma. It's an Isra Tiltum and Jerobon. Meaning, at which stage? Before.
Maybe even
that's it. Well, I don't know. I'm open
to it. It just doesn't have, it's just not Rishus HaYachid, and therefore you become Yisrael if you throw Rishus
HaRabbah. I think you can also say it. Yeah, I mean, that's an open question.
Because what's the...
It's hard to believe that I'm saying it's not kosher until it actually...
I think that's an open question.
I mean, your mach should be enabling the Tiltum this way.
For the Rishus HaRabbah.
No, like I'm saying, you're matching the Tiltum.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm open to that. I don't know.
He's giving the Eitzah here.
What?
He's
giving the Eitzah?
Right. Why would it, if you haven't had to talk to him, and so why are you in Achachas?
You
wish to
gain from
it? What's the point? Why should you do it?
I mean,
he's trying to tell you a whole lot. Well, the Rambam's telling you to do it. That's a fascinating thing.
If you want to make a Rosh Hashanah, you can do that too.
I was saying it's bimafia.
You could say two stages. The first, it creates a carbulus. The after crash, if you want to create after total, yes.
That's what I thought.
That's what
you said. But then you're missing that. You don't have any hatchet then.
That's what I thought. You're machshir the rishus harab.
In order to have a dalz that close, you have to have a dalz that's right, of course.
But you don't have to close it yet. I think also the Acharkach is difficult. I know there might be other approaches.
The first gun, that's the word for Acharkach, it fills in, it becomes. It's not a direct.